Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
This is NNEN, the Alpha Male Entertainment Network. Broadcasting from Humidor 1A in the cigar city of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show. Your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave. This is a special presentation of the Cigar Dave Show. America at war with the Chinese virus. With the latest intel, here's the global general, Cigar Dave.
Another week at war against the Chinese Wuhan virus. We are at Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City. We are secure. And for the next 2 hours, we will not be politically correct. We will be truthful. We will not sugarcoat anything. The same conversations that are taking place on phones, text messages, private chats, people that are still congregating while maintaining proper social distancing, we will continue those conversations here, and we are going to be joined by a special guest joining us from the European Theater of Operations, the Colonel in charge of all of the UK and Europe, Mick the Brit, joining us from his World War II secure bunker under his home in a very classified location. It is secure, loaded with masks, loaded with supplies for at least the next 12 months. Mick, you never have to come out of your bunker. I saw the pictures, and it has just been revealed yesterday that UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson tested positive for the Chinese Wuhan virus. Mick, give us an update. What's going on in the European Theater of Operations?
Greetings, General. No, everything's fine.
Great. Good thing that your cough cannot electronically transfer to me via satellite. That doesn't work.
Everything here is the same as there is with you guys. We're looking at the news from New York, and London, like New York, is like the epicenter at the moment. Obviously, we've got like 10% of the UK's population here. And because people didn't take any notice of what the government was saying. And I have to say, General, I think Boris, and I wish him well after that news from yesterday, but I have to say, I think he's been a bit slow to react to what's going on. The thing he should have done was shut the airports down, the ports down, and take it from there. But we never did that.
President Trump did that with Chinese traffic and, of course, was lambasted as being racist. But I'll get to that in just a moment. But as always, you're a global five-star general and alpha male-in-chief front and center, extending to you a long-ash greeting and salutation, a long-ash snappy salute, semper delectatio. Always pleasure, very difficult in these times, but we will get back to our normal lives when we defeat the Chinese Wuhan virus. We will get back to pleasure maneuvers. As always, don't forget, follow me on social media, Twitter at Cigar Dave Show, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Cigar Dave. Email address, cigardave@cigardave.com. As I look right now on one of my many monitors, computer monitors here at Command Center Alpha. We are over 554,000 total confirmed global cases. Now, I would say that number is not realistic. And the reason I say that, I don't believe a word, I don't believe a lick, anything coming out of communist China, I don't believe. They are blatant, absolute, adulterated liars. We know that President Xi of China and the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, they blatantly lie. In fact, I'm looking at a report right now saying that why are there no new cases in China? There are zero reported cases of Chinese Wuhan virus in China. Why? Because Chinese hospitals now are not allowing anybody to come in that have those symptoms. If you've got Chinese Wuhan symptoms, they don't want you in because then it'll count. And in fact, many people that are dying at home, they're lying about. They are not counting. You cannot believe a lick of what the Chinese communist propaganda machine is spewing. Yet, we see the libstream media, the lamestream media, repeating verbatim as if it is fact, as if it is truth, the numbers that China is reporting. And the U.S. surpassed, the story you've heard the last few days, that the U.S. has surpassed China in the confirmed number of Chinese Wuhan virus cases. Let's look at the fact. China is a country of, what, 1.3 billion people? We're a country of 360 million people. So you are telling me that a country in population, that's ballpark, a quarter of China, has more cases? Not buying it for a millisecond. The Chinese are blatantly lying. Mick, what is the reaction? What is the perception, the attitude towards China now? I can tell you there's a big backlash going on here in the United States. I believe that I'm at the forefront of leading that backlash, that people are fed up with China. They don't believe China. This is now the umpteenth time that they have spread a virus because of their disgusting, primitive, unsanitary dining habits that the World Health Organization and other health organizations have been after to stop China from allowing these open-air markets that sell exotic mammals that get bitten by bats, infecting these mammals, and that it makes the animal-to-human bridge because humans eat that garbage. So there is a big backlash. People are fed up with China. They realize that we cannot depend on China as a supply chain. We have to cut off the fact that 80% of pharmaceutical raw materials come from China, 50% of our penicillin, 90% of ibuprofen and acetaminophen. Enough is enough with China. They are our enemy. What is going on in the European theater of operations, Mick? What is the attitude towards the, not the Chinese people. The Chinese people, no. We have no problems with. It's the Chinese Communist Party, the ruling regime that we have a problem with. What's the attitude there, Mick?
Well, unfortunately, they kind of moved on from that. But I can see further down the line there will be a reset in the relationship and the, I would say, the reliance on China, probably. However, I do know for a fact locally the Chinese restaurants, and it's not their fault, but the Chinese restaurants are definitely suffering.
No question. And again, I do not blame Asian Americans, Asian Brits. They left. They escaped from China. They migrated from China because they didn't want to live under the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party regime. They wanted out. And I guarantee you, there's 1.3 billion the population. Maybe there's, what, 500,000 in the Chinese Communist Party that rule the roost. But I would tell you that almost every Chinese citizen would love to live in a democracy. They would love to get under the watchful eyes, the oppression of the CCP.
As an observation, General, I can tell you categorically that the Chinese people here in the UK, you don't hear nothing out of them. They just keep themselves to themselves, so to speak. They're not got their hand out asking, making demands and being political. They just get on with their lives.
Well, Mick, let's talk about Boris Johnson. He tested positive for the Chinese Wuhan virus. He said he was going to go into self-quarantine for 14 days. And I believe another cabinet minister, if I'm not mistaken, was announced that he had Chinese Wuhan virus.
The health minister. He's got it.
Right. How ironic is that, the health minister?
No, I said indeed. No, you're absolutely right. How ironic, yeah.
We talk about the Brits were late closing down the borders, closing down international travel. And even though President Trump in late January shut off travel from China, my belief at the time was he should have cut all international arrivals, period.
Yeah.
Every international, because even people that said, okay, we're not coming from China, but if you fly from China to Tokyo, China to Vietnam, you can still, or China to London, you can still make your way to the United States. And my feeling was at the time, should have shut everything off. But of course, when he did that, you had many political leaders, mostly the Dems, the Democrats, Charles Schumer, how dare we do this? This is racist. This is discriminatory. Well, now looking back, now they're all thrilled that we did that. But here's an interesting twist. The Chinese communist regime took major swipes at America and President Trump for closing down flights from China, saying that it is racist. You are singling out one country, that it's unconscionable to do that. You're jumping the gun. Well, it was the right thing to do. But guess who has just barred the entry of all foreign visitors into their country to stop the spread of coronavirus, or as we say, Chinese Wuhan virus. Would you like to take one guess, Mick?
North Korea.
Wrong, no, China. Mick, use common sense here. You are correct. The People's Republic of China, President Xi of China, they are temporarily suspending entry for foreigners beginning, or it actually started last night. So last night at midnight, in the effort to stop the spread of the Chinese Wuhan virus, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs announced they are shutting down the borders. Now, isn't that interesting? They went after the United States. They went after President Trump. It's racist. It's unconscionable. But they don't want the virus that they ended up propagating throughout the world. They don't want it back in their country. How ironic. Isn't it amazing? If that is not calling the kettle black, I have no idea what is. But I'm not done talking about China. And by the way, I want to thank everyone for the multiple emails and comments. I had friends even reaching out to me, calling me, reaching out on social media, privately saying, General, you were right. Dead nuts on. No political correctness. You're calling it like it is. Well, let's call it like it is. President Xi Jinping is telling its citizens to be proud of their president's G20 teleconference speech Thursday. Of course, they've got a big photo of President Xi Jinping. I could say that all day. Jinping floating through some clouds. Xinhua, the one of the state propaganda machines, media, said that the important speech entitled Hand in Hand to Fight the Epidemic and Overcome the Difficulties, they want that speech broadcast to the world because China is leading world efforts to confront the virus, displacing U.S. leadership of positive international order. Secondly, China should be thanked and rewarded for its efforts. And third, that President Xi Jinping is the instrumental element that ties mutually beneficial Chinese and global efforts together. Let's talk about the truth. China leading the world's efforts to confront the Chinese Wuhan virus? The Chinese communist regime bastards knew about the virus in December. A lab was able to sequence the RNA and had full reports on what was causing it. In fact, many people believe it started probably in October, November. But a lab in Wuhan was able to sequence the RNA. They had the information. They could have shared that with the world to say, be on alert. We've got a new virus epidemic that is going on here. We want to share this with the world, with the World Health Organization, with the CDC. We want everyone to be prepared to start now. Do you know what they did, Mick?
No.
What the Chinese communist regime did, they went into that lab. They ordered the lab to destroy all documentation on the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus, all the documentation, and ordered them to destroy all the RNA sequencing and the virus, everything they had worked on, every sample they had, they ordered everything to be destroyed. Now, I ask you, Mick, and you are under oath, I remind you.
Oh, I don't have to be. I tell the truth, General.
Under that example that I have just provided, did China lead the world's efforts to confront the Chinese Wuhan virus? And I remind you, you're under oath, Mick.
No.
Correct. You are correct. You will not be charged with perjury. Now, second, the Chinese state media say that the People's Republic of China should be thanked and rewarded for its efforts. Now, you are remaining under oath. Should we thank China for their efforts in the destruction of samples and in keeping the virus hidden and suppressed and lying about it and lying to the World Health Organization when they knew it was spread with person-to-person contact but told the WHO it is not? Should we thank China and reward them for that?
F-U.
Correct. No, F-U. Very good, Mick. You're really on a roll now. And lastly, that President Xi is the instrumental element that ties mutually beneficial Chinese and global efforts together. I ask you, Mick, is President Xi instrumental in the mutual efforts or in the efforts to hide and lie and destroy the information and intel about the Chinese Wuhan virus? I ask you, Mick.
That would be B, the latter that you've just described.
You are correct. 3 for 3, Mick. I'm very impressed. That doesn't happen very often with you, but it did happen. Very impressive. President Xi leads the Chinese Communist Party regime. There is nothing that is mutually beneficial about their efforts and global efforts. Not with the United States, not with Italy, not with Spain, not any country in the world. This ties back to only one criminal source. That is China and the Chinese Communist Party. It ties back to China for multiple reasons. For the last 20, 25 years, maybe longer, World Health Organizations have been after the Chinese Communist regime to shut down and outlaw the sale or consumption of exotic mammals. Why? Because we have seen over and over, SARS is one example, other respiratory diseases, other viruses that have transferred from bats that bite exotic animals or their droppings go where that is eaten by exotic mammals, whether it is a civet, which is a type of in the cat family, or it is a snake or any other exotic mammal or other animal. The world has been after China to shut those markets down, to eliminate them, to make it illegal. What has the Chinese regime done? Answer, nothing. They've allowed it to go on. Oh, now finally, after 25 years, they just shut down the Chinese market where this virus supposedly was ground zero. Why are they so late? Why have they not done this sooner? They had 25 years, 30 years to do it. They never did it. Many of the Chinese people, even though they were rural and now they're living in cities and they have become more civilized and gone into the middle class, more, not cultured, but a little bit more educated, more worldly, if you will. But one thing that hasn't changed is their old beliefs that eating many of these exotic mammals has spiritual powers and medicinal powers. Many Chinese people still have disgusting, filthy dining habits. They may live in the city, but they are still primitive. It is primitive. It is disgusting. It is unsanitary to eat exotic mammals bitten by bats. Period. Nowhere else in the world does that. Have we seen any of these respiratory ailments come from other countries? Now, there was the Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome. That was because of a camel. I don't know if somebody ate a camel or what the case was. Who the hell knows? But I can tell you, we've seen multiple diseases, viruses come from China. China has done nothing. The Chinese people, many of them, living in cities, living in modern civilization, are still living in the dark ages when it comes to dining. That is number one. Could have stopped it right there. When it was discovered, they could have easily said to the entire world, we have discovered this. We've got a doctor that discovered this. We are going to RNA this. We're going to quarantine everything. We advise everybody to shut down travel. We need to contain this for the benefit of the rest of the world. China lied about it. Well over a month. President Xi Jinping was made aware in early January about the true severity of the Chinese Wuhan virus. He said nothing for 9 days. Announced nothing. Did not act 9 days. In fact, he and Communist Party officials allowed a giant potluck dinner with 50,000 people to go on. Think about this, the number of people, the infection, the transmission in Wuhan and in that province where Wuhan sits. They allowed that to go on. They knew they had a problem and did nothing. They lied about the symptoms. They lied about what was happening. They told the World Health Organization can't be spread human to human. They're untrustful. They're untruthful. And Mick, this is the camel that breaks the Chinese. This is the straw that breaks the Chinese camel's back, if you will. You know, in Europe, Asia, Africa, I talked about this last week. China has the One Belt, One Road initiative, OBAR. The One Belt, One Road initiative, where they were going into all these countries and continents, Europe included. They were spending loads of money on infrastructure. The countries had no money to pay for it, so they took loans from the Chinese banks, had to use Chinese contractors, Chinese workers. You default, guess what happens? The Chinese communist regime owns the project, whether it's a bridge, a railway, a port, an airport, a power station. And so the Chinese started infiltrating into governments and dictating to governments how they wanted them to act, like they do to the Chinese people. And there was a huge backlash before this really exploded. But now, this is the camel that broke the Chinese camel's back. People in Europe, Asia, in Africa, they're fed up. The world is fed up with the Chinese. Enough is enough. President Xi is a blatant liar. The Chinese communist regime, blatant liars. And I'm not done. When we come back, we'll talk about holding China accountable for the Chinese Wuhan virus. We'll hold accountable American companies and CEOs for allowing their supply chains to be transferred over to China. All our manufacturing, all our medications, all our pharmaceuticals. What's the danger in that? Oh, India, which makes a huge amount of generic drugs, has announced that because they've got the Chinese coronavirus issue going on, they will now not allow any drugs out of the country. We're screwed. It's time to wake up. Fundamental change is needed.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy and Chinese virus sanitation maneuvers performed, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
All my cigars have been hermetically sealed to protect from the Chinese Wuhan virus. They are secured. They are locked in an underground vault to make sure that any type of bacteria, virus, will not permeate the General's cigar supply. I'm pulling out an Alec Bradley American Classic Connecticut. I think we celebrate America over these next few weeks. We've had an American theme. America is at war against the Chinese Wuhan virus. We shall win. We shall defeat the enemy, as we have in World War II and every other major confrontation. So the Alec Bradley American Classic Blend, a classic all-American cigar. Alan Rubin, the founder of Alec Bradley Cigars, named after his two sons, Alec and Bradley Rubin, wanted to recreate a cigar that had that old-style Tampa premium taste back in the 40s, 50s, even in the 60s, Tampa was making great handmade cigars. Unique taste. Wanted to recreate that. So he created a very unique blend with a Honduran Connecticut wrapper, a Nicaraguan binder, and some Nicaraguan and Honduran fillers, created a mellow, mild to medium-bodied, smooth, very satisfying cigar. Touch of sweetness, nice finish, very pleasant, very approachable. Can enjoy it anytime, day or night. In the right price point as well. Not going to break the bank. And in honor of Mick the Brit, I pulled out the Churchill size. 7 inches in length, 48 ring gauge or 48/64 of an inch, so probably about 3/4 of an inch in diameter. You're looking at this particular cigar in the roughly 7.25 retail price, $7.50, depending on where you go, not including taxes. Comes in 5-6 different sizes. Beautiful looking cigar, nice oily shiny wrapper, the Alec Bradley American Classic Blend. That is what I shall enjoy today.
Cigar altering and highly sharpened leaf exposing device.
Self-sharpening, double-edged stainless steel guillotine in my right hand that has also been properly sanitized with UV lights and other high scientific products. Make sure that the Chinese Wuhan virus has been destroyed, has been decimated, has been blown off the face of the earth. You know what? I wouldn't mind blowing the Chinese Communist Party off the face of the earth. Chinese people, good people, no problem. It's their Chinese Communist regime that we must destroy. But I tell you what, I'd like to take President Xi's head and stick it right in this guillotine. I'd make a massive guillotine. Boom. Finish him. We continue.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Well, from the Cigar Dave R&D Laboratories, as they would say in Britain, in the UK, the research and development team came up last week with a very unique lightation device, calling it the CCK, the Chinese Commie Killer. This thing looks like an absolute flamethrower. Take a listen to this. Oh, yeah. You get President Xi and all those Chinese commie bastards, let me have them. Between the guillotine and the CCK lightation device, the Chinese Commie Killer, we'll get rid of them all once and for all. Enough. Time to rid the world of those Chinese commie pricks. We continue.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. As always, let me take my CCK lightation device and Mick the Brit joining us from his special bunker, World War II era bunker underneath his residence in a classified secure location somewhere in the British countryside, in the British Theater of Operations, overseeing all of the European theater. Mick, you don't think I have too much hate for the Chinese Communist Party, do you?
I wouldn't say too much. I don't think you've got enough.
Good answer, Mick. By the way, I've got Pendragon's Royal Baron, who just celebrated his second birthday about a week ago. He is sitting next to me. Do you realize, Mick, he is now about twice the size as you are? He is about 2 times as tall as... Mick, what are you, like 4'4", 4'5"? What's your height?
No, 5'4", thank you.
Oh, you're
standing up. Yeah, standing up.
I hate to tell you this. He's probably about 7'4", standing up.
Yeah, all four legs.
That's right. 5, Mick. He's got 5, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be a great breeder for Pendragon Acres. Okay. Outstanding. Great draw. It's American classic. Blend, absolutely fantastic. Nice flavor. Nice. I love everything Alec Bradley makes. I really do. No matter what factory it comes from, whether it's Honduras, Nicaragua, Dominican, every single cigar that Alec Bradley creates, when Alan Rubin and Ralph Montero get together, they really create some incredible cigars. I've got a humidor full of them, and people say, well, what's your favorite? And the answer is, I can't tell you that. And the reason I can't tell you is because there's so many great cigars. Their Max is a hidden gem, reasonably priced. I love the lineage. Their Tempest, can't go wrong with. The Black Market, the Prensado Lost Art. Every one of them they make, fantastic, including some of their newer cigars. The Gatekeeper, which we featured for our January Officers Club. Phenomenal cigars. Cannot go wrong. They've got a cigar for every single palate and every single budget. Cannot go wrong with Alec Bradley. All right, I need something to accompany this lovely Alec Bradley American Classic Connecticut.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer.
Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Well, we're going to go to Jamaica, man. Yeah, man. You want some ganja, man? We're going to Jamaica. We're going to the Appleton Estate, where rum has been distilled going back to 1749, but it is believed that the origins of the Appleton Estate go back to Sir Francis Dickinson in 1665. But since 1749, all Appleton Estate rum has been produced, has been distilled, known for its flavor characteristics, its quality, and I've got a bottle right now of the Appleton Estate Signature Blend. They use 15 select aged rums. No rum is aged for less than 4 years. There's no age statement on the bottle, but you can figure about 4 years is going to be the average. Let me open it up here. Now, I've got our buddy Daniel Williams, who was on our St. Patrick's Day Irish Whiskey Tasting Maneuver show. Hard to believe that was like 2 weeks ago. That is, it seems like 2 years ago. Gave me two very unique glasses. It's called the Neat Ultimate Spirits Glass. They have won umpteen different medals. I mean, like 8 different awards, changing the way that connoisseurs enjoy their spirits. And it's called Neat, Naturally Engineered Aroma Technology. And the first thing I noticed about this glass, it's not like my normal whiskey snifter. It's very short, very squatty. We will put pictures at CigarDave.com and social media. If it's right in the palm of my hand, it's maybe about 3 inches high, but it's very wide. It's probably, three and a half inches wide. This reminds me of a wine decanter. If you look at a wine decanter, the very bottom, it's very wide, very flat to allow the wine to breathe, the esters to volatilize. And this is the same type of example. When you look at it, it's very unique on the bottom, but it has a very wide opening, not a narrow opening. So when I go to take a sip, my entire nose and the nasal cavity is just surrounded by the aroma of the spirit. So you get the incredible intense aroma as you get ready to drink, and then it goes down the palate, so it is absolute otolaryngological, I believe I'm close on that, which is an ear, nose, and throat, but otolaryngological ecstasy. You're getting it in the throat. You're getting it in the nose. You're getting it just everywhere. Ears, even in the ears, too, because you the sense is you drink the spirit. So I'm going to pour some of this Appleton Estate just a little bit into this new, unique, neat spirits glass. And as I tell you about the bouquet, wow, this glass, I can swirl around the spirit, this beautiful Appleton Estate Signature Blend rum. Massive amounts of aroma. Ooh, and it just surrounds just the whole nose. Fantastic. Perfectly balanced. Getting some citrus, some fruit, some orange peel, little molasses. Wow. All right, let me go ahead and say cheers. That didn't sound too well. Let me try this again. Maybe the glasses. Yep, you don't get that clink that you do on a regular whiskey snifter. So let me go ahead right now and take a sip. Oh, lovely. Just an exotic finish. just fruity, little sweetness, little citrus. This is not an expensive rum. You're looking somewhere around 20 to 35 bucks, depending on where you go. But I've seen the signature for as low as $19 or $18.99. Very reasonably priced. You will enjoy this rum. And this glass, I mean, I'm holding it in the palm of my hand right now, is absolutely fantastic. Just holding this, swirling around the rum, and now I go to take a sip. My entire nose is immersed into the glass. Mm. Total aromatic and taste experience. Fantastic. So, let me take another puff of my Alec Bradley American Classic. Excellent. Take a sip of my Appleton Estate rum. Mick, tell me, what cigar and libation have you lit and poured for the National Cigar or International today Cigar Litation and Libation
yes,
Ceremony?
Indeed. Yeah, it's a Guantanamo.
Guantanamo or Guantanamera?
Oh, Guantanamera, yeah, sorry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Guantanamo is the base, the military
That's
base.
Right.
They don't roll cigars down there, Mick.
Yeah, it's a Guantanamera. Didn't they write a song about that?
Yes.
And
Guantanamera.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing
and,
that, but that is correct.
Yeah, thank you. And my libation, General, is because of the great weather, the very Florida-esque weather we've been having here all week, I've gone for vodka and pineapple.
Vodka and pineapple. Very interesting. Russian vodka, yes?
Smirnoff.
Smirnoff. Mr. Mick. Mick the Brit, perhaps we should have MI6, Mr. Robert Mueller, come to your special underground bunker to investigate you. Drinking Smirnoff Soviet Russian vodka. Big problem, my friend. Big problem.
Well,
But don't worry, Mick. We won't throw you in the clink. You're okay. One other thing I should say, that Jamaica, for many years, known for outstanding cigars. Here are some names. Royal Jamaica. When it was made in before transfer production from Jamaica to Dominican, great cigars. You had Monte Cruz that was made in Jamaica. Temple Hall Estates, one of my favorites from General Cigar. And Macanudo, made in Jamaica for many years before transferring production to the Dominican Republic when there was all sorts of political unrest in Jamaica. But great cigars. That Temple Hall Royal Jamaica, fabulous. Macanudo as well, fantastic cigars. Can't go wrong. On a serious note, Mick. You contacted me earlier this week.
Yeah.
Sister the Brit, or that would be Deborah the Brit.
Yes.
You believe has the Chinese Wuhan virus. Explain, tell us her symptoms and how she is doing.
Okay. Well, somebody came, she was at work, and her colleague's son had a cough and wasn't feeling too good. And so this woman still came into work. But the advice has been, if you know anybody that's, you think's got it, you have to isolate as well. Well, anyway, 2 days later, my sister goes down with it. And what she's actually got, General, she had a headache, feeling feverish, also wiped out, just not herself, you know, kind of like how I would feel if I had a hangover. And and this thing, it's sort of shifted to her chest. She thought she was going to develop that cough. But she didn't, and she's kind of getting better. But this thing comes in waves. It comes and goes in waves. You think you're going to get better. You think you're, you know, on the, you've peaked out, and you're going down on the slope downwards to good health. But no, it comes back again.
Well, when the test is available to determine if someone has antibodies for the Chinese Wuhan virus, I will absolutely take that test. I had a terrible upper respiratory infection, cough, bronchitis in late January, early February, as you know. It lingered for about 6 weeks. Less than that. But the cough, the dry, hacky cough lingered for about 6 weeks. But I was at home for 2 weeks. In fact, we did not commence broadcast maneuvers during, I think, one or two of those weeks because I was so out of it under the weather. People have said maybe you had the Chinese Wuhan virus. I have no idea. There's only one way to find out. When the test is available, I will take it. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I have absolutely no idea. However, there is one person in the world that believes that she may have had it. And she has been out of the spotlight now for, oh, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks since the Chinese Wuhan virus has taken the limelight from her. I am talking about Little Greta. Little Greta. How dare you? How dare you, Chinese coronavirus, take the spotlight away from me? How dare you? How dare you all? Do you realize that I have been in the spotlight and now I am not in the spotlight? How dare all you people? I need the attention. I need the spotlight. I need to have money coming my way. I need to win the Nobel Peace Prize. How dare you all? Well, Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg said that it was extremely likely she had contracted the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus after experiencing several symptoms following a trip to Central Europe. She said, and I quote, now, she didn't say this, but I'm sure her father, Sven or Svengali or whatever his name is, wrote, around 10 days ago, I started feeling some symptoms. I was feeling tired, had shivers, a sore throat, and coughed. Oh, she coughed. Said on Instagram, Thunberg said the symptoms emerged after a return trip around Central Europe and that she and her father had isolated themselves as a precaution. Now, Thunberg said she has not been tested, but it's extremely likely that she had it given the combined symptoms and circumstances, and that she is now basically recovered, and saying also that she almost didn't feel ill. So wait a minute. She says she almost didn't feel ill, but had all the symptoms of Chinese Wuhan virus, tired, shivers, sore throat, coughed, and says, I didn't take a test, but it was extremely likely. You have no idea. This is nothing more than her father throwing little Greta, how dare you, back into the public spotlight so nobody would forget about it. One more time, Sergeant Steve, hit it. How dare you? How dare you all? This is about the fact that she has not been in the limelight. People have forgotten about her. They don't know who she is. Nobody gives a damn about the climate, supposed climate crisis right now. We've got a pandemic crisis, the Chinese Wuhan virus crisis. And I'm getting a kick out of the fact that many people are saying that this would be a great time to really even further crack down on climate because the spread of the Chinese Wuhan virus may have been caused because of climate change, because of the heat. Please, give me an absolute break. Speaking of which, we shall take a short time out. Mick the Brit joins us from the European Theater of Operations. We will continue front and center. We're not done talking about the Chinese and the Chinese Wuhan virus.
You need to add some alpha to your Facebook newsfeed. By following The General, you'll get the latest intel in the world of cigars, info on the show each week, and see what The General is smoking. Click like at facebook.com/CigarDave.
Cigar Dave Officers Club members receive 3 great cigars monthly that I personally select. For March 2020, I've got 2 beauties. First up, members will receive 2 CAO sessions, sit, smoke, chill. Wrapped in a deep, dark Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, the CAO session is medium in body, notes of cream, pepper, cinnamon, nuts, chocolate, an all-day cigar. And then a very unique cigar no longer available that I was personally able to get my hands on for our Officers Club members, the CAO Orellana, the 4th in the Amazon series, a very mysterious cigar wrapped in a Brazilian Cubra wrapper that is aged 6 years. It is unique, mysterious. You will love it. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club. $22.95 per month. You get 3 great cigars per month like the CAO Orellana and the CAO Session. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join right now.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changethecultures.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
1 minute.
Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
As we wrap up this hour, Mick the Brit joins us from his special World War II era bunker, secure in the European Theater of Operations. And very quickly, for those of you that are members of the Officers Club, slight delay on shipping. We believe they're going to go out early next week. Our March selections, CAO, two fantastic selections. But we will confirm, as everything, things are a little bit on the static side. Or I shouldn't say a little bit on the crazy side right now when it comes to shipping. So we'll have an email that we will send out. We're hoping early to mid-next week, later than we normally do, but with the circumstances, you can certainly understand. All right, Mick, keep your cigar properly toasted. Keep your libation filled. Next hour, we've got to talk about the airline bailout package. Boeing getting bailed out. Cheesecake Factory, $2 billion in revenue, 2 weeks into this thing. They can't pay their rent. I've got loads more to get to. We are just scratching the surface of the Chinese Wuhan virus and everything around it. Special edition of the Cigar Dave Show. We'll keep you informed. Why? Because as alphas, we're all smart as hell.
Hour one of the Cigar Dave Show is now complete.
There's time to refresh your cocktail.
As the General will return in 7 minutes.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom. President Trump said bon voyage this afternoon to the U.S. HNS Comfort as it left Norfolk Naval Station heading to New York City.
Join the ranks of tens of thousands of amazing doctors, nurses, and medical professionals who are battling to save American lives.
Mr. Trump called the 1,000-bed hospital ship a symbol of hope and solidarity to the people of New York. The ship's expected to dock in Manhattan Monday. It's 3 weeks ahead of schedule. Its mission is to treat non-infected patients in order to free up beds at local hospitals. The Comfort's sister ship, Mercy, docked in the Port of Los Angeles yesterday and will perform a similar mission. New York is moving its April 28th presidential primary date.
We are going to delay that and link it to an election that was previously scheduled on June 23rd. The June 23rd date is for state legislative races and congressional races. We'll move the presidential election to that date.
Governor Andrew Cuomo also giving Empire State residents more time to file their state taxes.
This is good news for individuals, for businesses. You don't have to file your state tax return. You file it with the federal tax return on July 15th.
President Trump considered, then rejected, ordering a quarantine for residents of the tri-state area. That's New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. This amid the coronavirus outbreak. Instead, he announced in a tweet late this evening he's asking governors of the states to oversee a strong travel advisory. A tornado ripped through northeast Arkansas, hurting three people in the college town of Jonesboro, knocking down walls and ripping roofs off. Forecasters with the National Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma, warned a severe weather outbreak was possible for much of the central U.S. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I've come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking relief factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking relief factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable. To be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Go right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. This is your opportunity to be the next success story.
Three American journalists have flown out of Beijing after the Chinese government revoked their press credentials.
China revoked the accreditations of about a dozen reporters last week, working for the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and the New York Times. China said in a statement that an open letter from the three newspapers requesting the reporters be allowed to stay should be sent to the U.S. government, saying its move was in response to recent restrictions put on Chinese state media in the U.S. It is the latest in a series of tit-for-tat actions by the two governments as the Trump administration takes a more confrontational stance in dealing with China than his predecessors. I'm Sarah Bassett.
Saudi Arabia's air defense forces intercepted and destroyed a ballistic missile over the capital just before midnight Saturday. Official reports were there were no immediate reports of any injuries. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. States are pulling the welcome mat for travelers from the New York area.
New York is the most serious of the nation's outbreaks. Governors in Texas, Florida, Maryland, and South Carolina this week ordered people arriving from the New York area to self-quarantine for at least 14 days. Connecticut officials have pleaded to New Yorkers not to visit unless absolutely necessary. But the most dramatic steps taken to date come from Rhode Island, where state police are pulling over drivers with New York plates to collect their contact information. And the National Guard is enforcing the order at bus stations, train stations, and airports. Patrick Frost reporting.
The California Restaurant Association says directives that have closed sit-down dining rooms around the state have nearly decimated the industry, and it says 30% of its businesses could close permanently without help from the state. Among the proposals offered in a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom, the group wants a delay in planned minimum wage increases and postponement in property and other tax payments. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Cigar City of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show, your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave. This is a special presentation of the Cigar Dave Show, America at War with the Chinese Virus. With the latest intel, here's the Global General, Cigar Dave.
We have dramatically changed how we live and how we work, how we interact with people the past 2 weeks. We never heard of social distancing before the Chinese Wuhan virus. We didn't see mass numbers of people working from home, telecommuting. We didn't see our supply chain interrupted. We didn't see the entire country wipe out shelves of toilet paper. Things have changed dramatically in 2 weeks, but for our remaining hour, you have come to a home of reason. We look at things reasonably, analytically. We don't panic. We don't get overly fearful. We look at things with a totally rational, clear lens. The General, your Global Alpha 5-star Commanding General, along with Mick the Brit, joining us in the European Theater of Operations from his World War II-era secure bunker, safely confined away from the Chinese Wuhan virus and Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister, so Mick does not get that. But Mick, things have changed so dramatically. The traffic, I can just tell you, the traffic in the cigar city of Tampa, highways. Normally when I go from the Pleasure Palace to Command Center Alpha, our world headquarters, it's normally, it's maybe about it's 3 miles, very close to the Pleasure Palace. But there's traffic, there's some lights. In the morning, sometimes it would take me anywhere between 7 minutes, sometimes 10. I'd say on average, it takes me like 3 minutes now. There's no traffic. I hit the light, maybe I do it in like 2.5 minutes. Things, it is just eerie. You pass by malls. You pass by office buildings. You pass by strip centers. No traffic, no cars, very eerie. And I think some of the changes that we're seeing are here to stay. I'll give you a perfect example, social distancing. I think we're going to see that take place during flu season between October and April. Many of us take flu shots. If you don't, you're a moron. But even with a flu shot, you can still contract the flu because the flu shot, usually the health professionals work on 3 or 4 different viruses they think are going to be active, and they do this in the spring. So they're already working now, March, April, May, June, for the flu season next year. So they're already working on a vaccine, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to cover all the flu strains. But I think we'll see more social distancing. I think also working – go ahead, Mick.
I was going to say, General, yeah, but this social distancing thing, it is a new phenomenon. I was in a shop, and I said to the woman who was serving behind the counter, I said, this social distancing, I said, it must be very frustrating for you that you can't get any closer to me. Fortunately, she laughed.
I'm sure, Mick. And by the way, in just a few minutes, I've got some great pickup lines dealing with the Chinese Wuhan virus. We'll get to that in a little bit. But one of the other things that is here to stay, I believe, people that are able working from home. I'll give you a perfect example. A friend of mine owns a company in Texas. Got, I don't know, about 30 people that are employed. It's got offices, I think, 8,000, 10,000 square feet, something like that. Every employee for the past, I think he told me, week, 8 days, something along those lines, has been working remotely. They're customer service people. They have like three customer service people that take answer calls, sales, technical assistance, that kind of thing. They're all working remotely. The calls are able to forward to their computer. They've got all the technology to do that. A lot of their sales reps working remotely. Their accounting people working remotely. He's been working remotely. And he said, my lease is done. My office lease is done the end of the year. And he said, I'm at a point now where do I want to go ahead and renew that lease? In fact, he said, talking to most people in my company, they all love it. The fact that they can wake up and they're ready to go. They can sleep later. They can deal with their kids. It's a little bit easier taking them to school. He said, maybe we'd meet twice a week, three times a week in the office for an hour or two. But I don't need 10,000 square feet. We can probably create an office that's 2,000 square feet, 2,500 square feet, and allow people to work remotely. But there are times when we may need to have meetings, all hands on deck. We can certainly do that. We'll have places for people, a small area they can work if they want to come in. But I think that is here to stay. I don't know what it's like in the UK, Mick, but in the United States, many people I speak with say they wouldn't mind that. The only thing they miss is the social interaction. But if they could do what they said, 3 days a week work from home, that would be great. What are you seeing in Europe?
Exactly the same here, especially in London, General, the capital of England. Lots of people, especially on a Friday, they'll not come in to work on a Friday, choosing to work from home. But what you've just said there is you're spot on, is absolutely right. And like you say, it doesn't necessitate the building of great big office tower blocks now so much, perhaps, with a new way of thinking about things.
A tower block.
Yeah. What do you call them?
A skyscraper.
Yeah, well, sorry. All right, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry,
yes.
Thank you for translating for me.
Yes. By the way, I am looking at one of my monitors, and the South Dakota governor, Kristi Noem, Republican from South Dakota, I would make her an honorary member of the General's Harem. Quite an attractive gov. I will tell you that. She's definitely hotter than any of the other governors I've seen lately. Very impressive, Mick.
Yeah, well, lots of the others, you would have social distancing, but with her, you'd make an exception, right?
Oh, absolutely. Let me put it this way. She, total antithesis of Theresa May. She looks young, she looks attractive, and she's probably got some very good dance moves, as opposed to Theresa May, who's, I'm telling you, Mick, when they do an autopsy on her in 50 years, when she's gone, they will find about a 2x4 stick right up her ass, preventing her from any sort of movement whatsoever. The woman has no rhythm. Any way, shape, or form. But I may want to move to South Dakota, at least for a couple of months in the summer. Very impressive. All right. Let's talk about what took place yesterday and earlier this week. Yesterday, the House voted for the Senate bill, a $2.2 trillion economic relief rescue package. And in the highlights, amongst the dollars for various industries, there is up to $50 billion plus for the airline industry. Cash for the airlines. Now, last week I talked about Airlines for America. They submitted a proposal to the government. They wanted $25 billion in a grant to be able to pay their employees until August. Basically free money. Here's $25 billion, airlines, no problem. That's the first thing. They wanted $25 billion. Then they wanted $25 billion in a zero interest, non-secured loan. Now, any way, shape, or form, for us to give the airlines $25 billion, number one, as a grant, that is a non-starter for me. But number two, for the airlines to request a $25 billion loan with absolutely no collateral at zero interest is absolutely unacceptable to me. Well, let's take a look at what we saw in the bill. Airlines are to get $25 billion in grants, of which they must use that to retain employees until, I believe, they're prohibited from enacting furloughs, pay cuts, or benefit cuts through September 30th. That's 1 month longer than what the airlines originally had put forth. Secondly, $25 billion in government-backed loans. However, they are going to be interest-bearing, and they're going to be secured by assets, whether it is unencumbered aircraft or unencumbered landing slots or their frequent traveler programs, which are worth a lot of money. They would be prohibited, or to get that $25 billion, it would have to be secured with an interest rate. Don't know what the interest rate is. I think they were talking somewhere in the 7% or 8% area. Further, President Trump and Secretary of the Treasury Steve Mnuchin said that as part of the deal, the U.S. government, the taxpayers, would get either warrants, preferred stock, or some sort of stock, the ability for them, when stock prices go up and their businesses go up, the American taxpayer not only would get their loan paid back, but they would cash in on the increase in stock price. That's only fair. That's what Warren Buffett would do. That's the same deal that Warren Buffett would do. No ifs, no ands, no buts. So I can tell you that looking at this bill, from what the airlines originally wanted to what they're going to get, two different things. Now, some other various restrictions. The airlines would be prohibited from exercising stock buybacks, stock repurchases, or paying dividends through September of next year. Well, not so fast. I say, number one, they should be prohibited for the length of the loan until the U.S. taxpayer is paid back in full. Not only the $25 billion that in a loan, but the $25 billion in grants to keep their employees working through September 30th, no stock buybacks, no dividends, and further, no executive compensation worth more than $425,000. I would have said no compensation for the top three officers the remainder of this year, and very limited, maybe $200,000 next year. They're only prohibiting raises through March 24th, 2020 for those whose total compensation was $425,000 or more last year. Now, here's the other thing that I feel that the airlines, and I'll get into why the airlines screwed up, but after the loan is paid back, after the U.S. government gets their $25 billion, the deal that I would make with the airlines saying you can't pay dividends, you cannot do any stock buybacks until every American taxpayer, until the loans are paid back and we've gotten the $50 billion back in full with interest. And what I would tell them is after that, you will put 50 or 75% of all free cash flow after capital expenditures into a rainy day emergency fund that would sit collecting interest to be used down the road, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, so the next black swan event that comes in, you won't be begging the government for funds. And as I said last week, the top four major airlines, American, Delta, United, Southwest, they bought back their stock over the past 5 years. They took 96% of their free cash flow and bought $41.1 billion of stock. They bought it back. Now, why do companies want to buy back stock? Why do the boards authorize this? Why are the executives so keen on buying back stock? Now, they will tell you it is to enhance shareholder value. because they go out, there's less shares and less float, more demand for the stock goes up. Then they will also tell you that it's good for the shareholder because now with fewer shares, there's more earnings per share. Both are true. In fact, many of the airlines went in and went into the market not when the stock prices were down, but were on the way up. Now, why did the executives and the board want that so badly? Why didn't they take, out of that $41 billion, why didn't they take $20, $30 billion and say, let's go ahead and put that into an emergency fund? I'll tell you why. Companies buy back stock for one and only one reason, to goose executive compensation. Let's take a look at how executives are compensated. They all get relatively small salaries. And when I say relative, you look at the executives of these airlines, many of them $750,000 a year, $1 million. That's real money. That's a lot of money. No ifs, ands, or buts. But their big money comes in from their bonuses. When the stock price hits a certain target, earnings per share. So what happens when an airline goes out and buys their own stock, or any company? When there's more demand for that stock, more people want the stock, what happens is the stock price goes up, supply and demand. If there's more buyers than sellers, hey, stock goes up. So the airline executives, when they have provisions saying that their part of their performance bonus will be based on the closing share price and a quarter on a year, and the stock price is up, cha-ching. The second thing that I explained last week, earnings per share. I used a very simple analogy. When there is 1,000 shares outstanding and your company makes hypothetically $1,000, the earnings per share is $1, 1,000 shares divided by $1,000, $1. Now, Mick, what happens when a company goes out and says, we're going to buy stock in the open market, we're going to do a share buyback, instead of 1,000 shares, you now have 500 shares, and let's just say, for simplicity's sake, the company made the exact same amount they did this year as last year. So last year there's 1,000 shares divided by 1,000. This year there's $1,000 in profit divided by 500 shares. Mick, what do you think happens?
To the PE, is that what it's called, General?
EPS, earnings per share.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
So even though the net profit stays the same, the earnings per share double. And then you'll have all these Wall Street analysts. I've been on Wall Street calls. It is hysterical. These guys are the dumbest sons of bitches around. They sit there and they kiss the tuchuses of all these executives doing earnings calls. And the executives will say, well, we bought back $500 million worth of stock, and this year our earnings per share is $4.25 compared to last year when it was $2.10. And all the announced, oh, congratulations on a wonderful quarter. Great job. Oh, they pat each other on the back. But the reality is less number of shares, it's the same earnings. It's a giant accounting hoax. It is a fraud. The airlines perpetuated this fraud. And here's the other fraud that airlines are now perpetuating on the American people. So the airlines are perpetuating another fraud upon you, the consumer, the American taxpayer, the people that are bailing out these executives, the executives at United, at American, at Delta, at Southwest. Every one of them should have been fired as part of the bailout. Furthermore, the boards of directors should all be replaced. They were complicit in the fraud perpetuated on the American people. They couldn't manage their own companies, their own businesses, by these ridiculous share buybacks. They were reckless. They were irresponsible. And now we have to bail out these airlines? I say let these sons of bitches, let them go Chapter 11. Let them go bankrupt. Here's what will happen. The United States can come in, provide debtor-in-possession financing on much better terms than what we would have gotten. The employees would have still gotten paid. There'd be some layoffs, no doubt about it. But the difference is now the creditors, the senior lenders, the bondholders, they would end up owning the company. The shareholders would get wiped out. The executive bonuses and perks wiped out. Let them go Chapter 11. That's what we should have done. But instead, the airlines, oh, we're vital. So the airlines want to consider themselves to be a utility that need to be bailed out? Then let's put massive restrictions. Let's change the C pitch. There's got to be a minimum seat pitch between rows. You can't downsize the bathrooms. You got to have minimum service levels. Because what the airlines are saying is, we're a utility. We're like the power company. We should have a minimum profit level. And if we don't, you got to bail us out. We better drive a hard bargain on these asses, these horses' asses. All the executives, Oscar Munoz at United, William Douglas Doogie Parker at American, Southwest, Gary Kelly, and at Delta, Ed Bastian. Every one of them is guilty and complicit of screwing not only their own company, but of screwing the American taxpayer now because we have to bail these clowns out. And how else are they screwing you right now? Try getting a refund. By law, if a flight is canceled, any part of a flight, and the airline rebooks you, they have violated the terms of their agreement with you. Therefore, by law, you are entitled to a refund. I had to call Delta a week ago. One of my flights was canceled. I wasn't going to go on the flight anyway, but they canceled it. Rebooked me. I called them up. It's 45 minutes on the phone. I said, I don't want a credit, and you can't get a refund online. They make you call. 45 minutes later, the agent was very nice. No problem. I got the refund processed a day later. I was supposed to come back from Cleveland to the Cigar City of Tampa with Cigar Mother Piera earlier this week. Flight was canceled. The day before, I called up, got right through to Delta, and I said, my flight was canceled. The new flights don't work. I need to get a refund. First thing she said, well, would you like to get a credit instead? My answer, no, I want a refund. Okay, no problem. Took her about 2 minutes, came back on the line. We've processed your refund. It may take 7 to 10 days. Now, they've never told me that before. Normally, they say it takes 1 to 3 days. Now, when you buy your ticket, they hit your credit card immediately. But yet, when you go to get a refund, there's a 1 to 3 day delay. That's not right. But what they're doing now is, because they're in a liquidity crisis, you go to call them, they're not even allowing you, if your flight is canceled, to get a refund. They're violating the law knowingly. They're violating federal law. I talked to a friend of mine, told me he talked to United. They said, no, we can only issue credits now. He said, I don't want a credit. I know the rights. I know what the law is. Let me talk to your supervisor. She came on and said, well, we'll give you an additional voucher. We'll give you this and that. He said, I want a refund. Very simple. By Department of Transportation orders, if a canceled flight is done, you got to give me a refund. Cancel flight comes through, you got to issue a refund. Well, United not issuing refunds. Delta now saying 7-8 days. How dare they, as Greta Thunberg would say. How dare they? So if you have reservations on one of the airlines and you have your flight canceled, you call them up and you demand a refund. You tell them by law. If any of you are not getting refunds, let me know. I'm about to file a class action lawsuit against Delta and maybe several other airlines. Let me know. CigarDave at CigarDave.com. Screw these bastard airline CEOs.
Check out the all-new CigarDave.com. Get info on the cigars and libations the General enjoys during the show. Get recipes from the Pooch Pit. And drink cocktails, too. You can listen to the show on our 24/7 stream or download the latest podcast to listen to anytime. Get it all at CigarDave.com.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long. And help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
This is continuing coverage of America at War against the Chinese virus. Here's more from the Global General, Cigar Dave.
And Mick the Brit joins us from the World War II vintage bunker underneath his residence in a classified secure location in the United Kingdom, England Theater of Operations. Mick, it should be very apparent that not only can I not stand the Chinese Communist Party, the regime, but I cannot stand these airline CEOs and the members of their board that were reckless in not saving and taking 96% of their free cash flow to buy stock instead of taking a significant portion of that and having that in an emergency fund. Now, think about that. If American would have had the $14 billion on hand, they wouldn't have needed to go to the government. Same thing with United, $10 billion, and Delta, $10 billion, Southwest, $8 billion. Instead, we are bailing these guys out. It is absurd. It is, as far as I'm concerned, unacceptable. Here's the other thing that's now happening. The airlines are saying to slow the spread of the coronavirus, they're eliminating or reducing food and drink services on most flights. This has nothing to do. Now, yes, do they want to make sure that food, drink, there's no spread? That's easily, you can easily accommodate that without ending beverage or meal service. American Airlines and Southwest have both agreed now to let their flight attendants wear masks while on duty. No problem with that. Southwest, or I call it Southwest, suspended snack and beverage service on all flights until further notice, started this past Wednesday. They're saying, well, it's due to health restrictions, accordance with health officials, baloney. American Airlines said it will only offer limited food and beverage on flights shorter than 4.5 hours. No food will be served. Only canned drinks will be offered. So if you're going from Tampa to Los Angeles, only canned drinks, no food. Longer flights, beverages will be served as usual. Meals will be offered on long-haul international flights. So you're okay. It's okay to have meals on long-haul international flights, but not domestically. That's why they're full of bull, totally full of bull. Delta began reducing onboard services this week, eliminating alcoholic beverages, offering only bottled beverages. Only two snacks will be offered on flights less than 900 miles long. On longer flights, passengers are to get packaged meals along with snacks. Alaska Airlines will offer no food or drinks on flights shorter than 250 miles, including in first class, which is unheard of. On longer flights, only bottled beverages and packaged snacks will be handed out. Bottom line is, the airlines, because of their own incompetence, and let's name the guilty parties. Delta Airlines, Ed Bastian, CEO, or should I say Ed Bastard. American Airlines, they've got a three-time driving under the influence CEO by the name of William Douglas Parker. Willie Doogie, as I call him. Another giant failure. Oscar Munoz at United. He had a heart transplant about 3-4 years ago after he took the helm at United. Unfortunately, they transplanted the wrong organ. They should have given him a brain transplant. He's another moron who's retiring, I think, mid-year and going to come away with a huge package. And then Gary Kelly at Southwest. Gary Kelly, maybe not as guilty as these other parties. I'm not a Southwest fan, really don't care for the airline. But all these CEOs that said, let's go buy back stock, $41 billion over the last 5 years, all of them are guilty. I, as far as I'm concerned, they all should have been fired. I don't care how good they are, the rest of managing the company, they blew it on this. They should have all been given a kick in the ass out the door based on the bailout package. Cheesecake Factory. Here's another winning company. They've got 294 restaurants. Mick, have you ever been to the Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah, there's one over at International Mall, isn't there?
That is correct. Very close to Command Center Alpha. Correct. Now, they do, and I know this because I just pulled out their SEC 10Q filing, they do per year $2.5 billion in revenue. $2.5 billion in revenue. But their capital restraints or their capital, their balance sheet is so bad that the CEO has already, 2 weeks into this, not even a month, 2 weeks, has written a letter. Company chairman, CEO David Overton, whose parents founded the company, has written a letter to all their landlords saying, due to these extraordinary events, I'm asking for your patience and frankly for your help. We will not be able to pay rent on April 1st. Now, I looked at their balance sheet. Again, I'm not your typical radio or broadcast presenter. That's what you call them in Europe, Mick. Is it your presenter?
Indeed we do, General, yes.
The reality is most presenters here in the United States know nothing about business. Sergeant Steve, you are a longtime News Talk program director before you elevated and became sergeant in the Alpha Army and doing other things. Never been happier, I might add. Is that not true?
That is correct.
Okay. Tell me, how many presenters, talk show hosts, did you deal with that knew, could read a balance sheet and talk about it proficiently?
They would say, what is a balance sheet?
Correct. So I'm not the average presenter. Very well versed on business, finance, since I majored in that, took two majors at Syracuse University. So I should know these things. Well, I looked at the Cheesecake Factory's balance sheet. Now, first I looked at their total revenues. Last year, $2.5 billion in revenue. And when you look at their net income and add back their depreciation and amortization, which is a non-cash expense, they dropped $115 million to the bottom line. Low margin business, but $115 million. I'm looking as of December 31st at their year-end balance sheet. Their current assets, cash, accounts receivable, other assets. And you always look at it, you do a current test. Current assets minus current liabilities. Current means anything within the next year. Assets you have now, liabilities due within the next year. Normally, you want a current ratio. When you divide the current assets, divide current liabilities, you want 1.5 to 3. Anything less than 1 indicates liquidity problems. The Cheesecake Factory, multi-billion-dollar restaurant chain, has a current ratio of 0.39, $244 million in current assets, $615 million in current liabilities. Any way you look at it, that is disastrous. So what's happening? They can't even make it 2 weeks being closed, and they now have to go to their landlord saying, well, we can't pay rent. Please work with us. We've had to lay everybody off. Now, Sergeant Steve, Mick the Brit, would you like to know why they don't have the proper current ratio? Let me give you both a guess. Would you like to take a guess as to why? Go ahead, Mick, you start.
They don't have you working for them as an accountant.
No. Sergeant Steve, would you care to take a guess? I'll give you a hint. Airline industry. Why they don't have the proper capital sitting there for a rainy day?
Stock buybacks?
You are correct, Sergeant Steve. In 2019, 18, and 17, they did $283 million worth of stock buybacks. Now, think about that for a second. If they had $283 million in cash sitting there right now, they wouldn't have to beg and grovel to their landlords saying, we're a publicly traded major company, major restaurant chain, one of the largest in the country, yet we're so stupid as executives that we don't even have enough cash to pay you on April 1st. How absurd is that? Beyond absurd. I'll tell you what else is absurd. There is a potential condom shortage that is looming after the Chinese Wuhan virus locked down one of the world's top producers. Malaysia's Carex BHD makes one of every 5 condoms globally. They have not made a single condom from their 3 Malaysian factories in the past 2 weeks due to a lockdown imposed by the government to halt the spread of the Chinese Wuhan virus. You may know, you've heard the, Sergeant Steve, you ever heard of the brand Durex?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Durex made by these guys, you're going to see possibly a shortage. So consequently, they now have stopped production. The other major condom-producing country, would you like to take a guess who it is?
China.
You would be correct. They have had factory shutdowns. India's got shutdowns. Thailand. So we could see a global spike. Now, I went to the closest Walgreens to check the condom supply in the what they call family planning section. Always got a kick out of that. Family planning. It's more like alpha pleasure maneuver section as far as I'm concerned. They had a tremendous supply. You want Trojan. You want Natural Am. You want Durex. You want condoms spiked and ribbed for her pleasure. You want ultra thin. You want reservoir end or plain end. You want lubricated, non-lubricated. They've got them. But if you are worried, forget toilet paper. To me, condoms far more important than toilet paper. When we come back, got a couple of sound bites that we will play. One from the CEO of the parent company of Lysol. Wait till you hear what he has to say about hand washing in the United States. And also, Breonna Keeler, CNN, went after Peter Navarro, blaming the Trump administration for the lack of masks and ventilators and all the other nonsense. But as our good friend Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friends. There's more to that story. The final concluding segment of this special Chinese Wuhan virus edition of the Cigar Dave Show with special guest Mick the Brit from his London bunker. will come your way next.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
Hi, I'm Rocky Patel. After 15 years of hard work, I'd like to introduce you to the Rocky Patel 15th Anniversary Cigar made at our factory in Esteli, Nicaragua. This cigar showcases a beautiful, oily Habano wrapper from Ecuador. Fillers from Esteli, Jalapa, and Condega make up a rich, complex, spicy taste with a lot of full flavor. The Decade, another one of our masterpieces. Made in Honduras, beautiful Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper with secret fillers. It received a 95 rating, one of the highest rated cigars ever in Cigar Aficionado. This medium to full body cigar is rich, complex, yet elegant and well balanced. 15 years ago, they thought we'd never make it in the business. 10 years ago, they thought we'd never last. 5 years ago, they started paying attention. Now, we're right where we belong, in your hand. So enjoy the 15th anniversary and the decade these cigars will deliver.
Cigar Dave Officers Club members receive three great cigars monthly that I personally select. For March 2020, I've got two beauties. First up, members will receive two CAO Sessions, Sit, Smoke, Chill. Wrapped in a deep, dark Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, the CAO Session is medium in body, notes of cream, pepper, cinnamon, nuts, chocolate, an all-day cigar. And then, a very unique cigar no longer available that I was personally able to get my hands on for our Officers Club members, the CAO Orellana, the fourth in the Amazon series, a very mysterious cigar wrapped in a Brazilian Cubra wrapper that is aged 6 years. It is unique, mysterious. You will love it. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club. $22.95 per month. You get three great cigars per month like the CAO Orellana and the CAO Session. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join right now.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Linda Bodd. Join me May 15th, 2020 at 12 o'clock p.m. in the Redding Rodeo Grounds in Redding, California. Chicks and Chaps will be conducting their annual fundraiser to benefit local individuals impacted by breast cancer. The event will be emceed by yours truly with guest speaker Lynn Fritz, licensed marriage and family therapist. Limited to 100 tickets, which are available through Facebook at Chicks and Chaps Redding or through ReddingRodeo.com. Think pink and see you there.
In 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. Special coverage of America at War against the Chinese virus continues. With more, here's the Global General, Cigar Dave.
All right, remaining minutes, we'll get to it. We talked about the potential condom shortage. Many factories closed down. Sergeant Steve and Mick the Brit each had something to add. Sergeant Steve.
Well, I know that when it comes to condoms, you don't want any shortage.
Very Shecky Sergeant Steve over here. He should be opening up for Wayne Newton in Vegas when they reopen up. All right, Mick the Brit.
Well, I was going to say, do you expect me to believe that, General?
Very good, Mick. Very impressive. Now, I will say this, that there is a shortage. However, Trojan makes the Magnum, but they also make the Magnum XL. Do you know that it comes in a 1,000-pack box? Were you aware of that? Not just a 12 or a 36, 1,000-pack.
Isn't that the General's edition?
XL, baby, Magnum XL, because just a regular one, talk about short, just wouldn't work for me. 1,000 Magnum XLs, $549.99, worth every penny, no doubt about it. And if there is a shortage, guess what? I am fully stocked for the harem, so I will start reselling them. Now, I don't want to gouge people, but I will perhaps add something else in. Maybe I'll throw in a special cigar, and I'll be able, instead of charging people for a 12-pack, $8.49, maybe I'll charge them $49.99 and put in a special cigar. There's ways around dealing with gouging. I'm just an entrepreneur. What can I tell you? All right. One other thing. The nation's potato chip supply and snack food supply could also, not right now, but we have to keep an eye on it, could be in jeopardy. Frito-Lay in Modesto, California, they have shut down that plant temporarily after multiple employees showed signs of Chinese Wuhan virus. If people cannot get their Funyuns, their kettle chips, their Lay's with Ridges, their Ruffles, their Fritos, their Cheetos, we're going to have big problems in this country in the next few weeks. That, I can tell you, we cannot allow that to happen. We will monitor that for sure. All right. This morning, or yesterday morning, I'm watching CNBC. And Becky Quick, one of the anchors, is speaking with Laxam Narasimhan, who is the CEO of Reckitt Benckiser Group. Are you familiar with them, Mick? They're a British company.
Really? Not heard of them.
Well, they are the parent company of Lysol, Airwick, Mucinex, and many other products. Clearly, they're operating their factories 24 hours. But he talked about shifts taking place with the consumer because of the Chinese Wuhan virus. And one of the things he talked about is that Reckitt Benckiser is creating a fund taking 1% of their operating profit to ensure access of their cleaning and sanitizing products and information to change behavior. And one of the behaviors he spoke about was hand washing. And he had an astonishing statistic on hand washing that totally threw me, beyond disgusting. Make sure you're sitting down. You will be repulsed when you hear this.
We did a partnership with TikTok. One statistic for you, you know, globally, only 17% of people wash their hands after going to the toilet.
What?
The partnership at 17%. This is a statistic. from UNICEF. By the way, it's not that if you look at the developed markets, look at the study done by the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, a third of men and 64% of women wash their hands after going to the toilet. And despite the fact that 99% of people will tell you that they did, 99%, hand washing is a big deal.
It is disgusting that only 17% worldwide wash their hands, a third of men. And I can tell you, I was at a restroom recently where I was at, there's multiple basins to wash your hands, multiple sinks. And so I started washing my hands. I use a lot of soap, warm water. I go for about 30 seconds. My father was, Dr. Z was a surgeon, and he taught me from a young age to properly wash your hands. So I am very thorough. I get the inside crevices. I get the nails. I get the between the fingers, the palms, the back. 30 seconds. They found that regular hand washing kills the Chinese Wuhan virus and other viruses and bacteria. So I'm washing, and I see this guy come out from one of the urinals, looks in the mirror, and I'm thinking, okay, he's going to go wash his hands, checks his hair, and walks out. I turned around, and I said, whoa, you're forgetting something. He's like, what that? What's that? I said, wash your hands. He's like, no, I didn't touch anything. I said, listen, do yourself a favor. If nobody had the correct just was smart enough to tell you, always wash your hands because you're in a bathroom. There's bacteria all over the place, and you're going to spread it to others, shake people's hands. Get in here and wash your hands. He looked at me. He goes, okay, I guess you're right. I said, let me tell you something. Next time you get a cold or you get some not feeling well, it's because you didn't properly wash your hands, guaranteed. Disgusting. If you don't wash your hands, you are vile, you are repulsive, you are a subhuman pig. Wash your hands. Unbelievable. There's a lot of stupid people out there, my fellow alphas. I guarantee you wash your hands, but I know you know people that haven't. All right, quickly, we'll get just a part of this. Breonna Keeler, CNN, which has been going after the Trump administration. They've made mistakes. I've been constructively criticizing the president, the administration on things. Peter Navarro, overseeing the government effort to get more ventilators and supplies. Take a listen. She goes right after him, doesn't even allow him to speak. It was repulsive.
The government was clearly ill-prepared for this.
For their full
the government was clearly ill-prepared for this. This is not something that, you know, these viruses happen and how awful they are. But there are things that happen. Your government knew in the summer when it did a drill that this, if this happened, this would be a problem. And there was a lack of preparation, which is why we have you on to talk about the supply chain.
Sure.
Right now, it looks like the capacity for the U.S. is going to be about 200,000 ventilators. And what experts are saying is that there could be a million needed. So are you going to be able to meet that demand?
So, are you aware,
is the president aware that relaxing restrictive measures is going to mean that you need more than that?
Let me bring you up on the history here of what we inherited. In 2009, when the Biden Obama administration had the H1N1 flu crisis,
Peter, why are you wasting your time on this and not solving the problem that you have? Peter, why are you even talking about this?
You made the claim that this administration was ill-prepared. I am trying...
Run the tape.
I just heard that. You just said that.
Peter,
now let me respond to that.
I'm asking you if you're going to be able to get to a million ventilators.
I'm trying to respond to you, and you keep like interrupting me.
My question, Peter, is: are you going to be able to get to a million?
Let's just have a conversation here. You keep talking in my ear, and you won't let me talk. May I speak, please?
Sergeant Steve, kill it right there. Here's the reality: Los Angeles Times and Bloomberg, not exactly right-wing news outlets, reported that the nation's stockpile of N95 respirator max was depleted during the H1N1 swine flu epidemic in 2009. Under the Obama administration, the supply was depleted. They never replenished the supply despite two separate recommendations to do so. So the media, the left-wing lib media, can blame Donald Trump all they want. Look, I blame Donald Trump. He should have been more proactive early on, not saying, oh, it's like a cold, it'll magically disappear. But let's be factual. Let's be honest. The Obama administration depleted the supply of N95 masks and never replenished it. They did nothing. Unacceptable. Let's point the blame where it really belongs. All right, Mick the Brit, listen, best to Mick Deborah, sister of the Brit. I hope that she gets better soon and that she did not have the Chinese Wuhan virus.
Thank you, General.
And stay safe, Mick. Stay in the bunker. And as always, Cigar Dave the General saying, Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. We'll get back to that. Long live the Alpha. Screw the Chinese communist regime. Screw the airline executives that have now cost taxpayers $50 billion. And to the Chinese Wuhan virus, your days are numbered. Stay safe, America. Stay safe, world. Screw the Chinese commies. We can't stand them.
Concludes today's live Cigar Dave show. Stay tuned as the replay will begin momentarily. Sit back, relax, and light up a cigar.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump considered then rejected ordering a quarantine for residents of New York and neighboring New Jersey and Connecticut amid the coronavirus outbreak. Correspondent Ken Lorman has more.
The president announced in a tweet late Saturday that a travel advisory was the way to go. It urges residents of the states to avoid all but essential travel for 2 weeks. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo had said earlier in the day that roping off states would amount to a, quote, federal declaration of war.
Meanwhile, the Governor Cuomo postponed the state's presidential primary from April until June, while nurses made anguish pleas for more protective equipment and rebuffed officials' claims that supplies are adequate. President Trump was in Norfolk, Virginia Saturday afternoon to see off the U.S. Naval Hospital ship Comfort as it set sail for New York City. In his remarks before the launch, the president said the Comfort is outfitted for the new battle.
It is fully loaded with 12 operating rooms, and they are fully equipped. 1,000 hospital beds, a medical laboratory, a pharmacy, an optometry lab, digital radiology, a CAT scan, 2 oxygen-producing plants, and a helicopter deck, which will be used very actively. It also bears our military's greatest weapon of all, a crew of nearly 1,200 outstanding members of the United States Navy, and I thank them very much.
The 1,000-bed Comfort will house and treat non-infectious patients in order to free up local hospital beds. The Comfort's sister ship, Mercy, which docked in Los Angeles Friday morning, similarly equipped and will perform a similar mission in the coronavirus pandemic fight. More news, more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I've come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking Relief Factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com, and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable, to be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. Go right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. This is your opportunity to be the next success story.
Experts are warning a so-called coronavirus infodemic could have disastrous consequences.
Social media sites are rife with bogus remedies, magic cures, and potentially hazardous medical advice. Iranian media have reported that nearly 300 people have been killed and more than 1,000 sickened by ingesting methanol as a purported safeguard against the disease. Poultry sales in India plunged following false claims that chickens were linked to the pandemic. In Sri Lanka, authorities warned that legal action will be taken against people who spread false information over social media. Several people have been arrested. Governments around the world are urging citizens not to listen to or spread rumors about the pandemic. I'm Sarah Bassett.
Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez ordering a 2-week ban on commuting to all non-essential businesses beginning Monday. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Pacific Gas and Electric warning that its elaborate plan for getting out of bankruptcy just might collapse if they can't pay for their crimes.
The latest twist in an already complicated saga emerged this week after PG&E disclosed it will plead guilty to 84 felony counts of involuntary manslaughter for neglecting to properly maintain equipment that ignited a 2018 wildfire that destroyed 3 towns. PG&E will pay a $4 million penalty as part of the plea agreement, but plans to do so by drawing upon a $13.5 billion settlement that it reached with wildfire victims as part of its bankruptcy case. If PG&E doesn't abide by the settlement terms, the company said it could cause other deals reached in its complex case to unravel. Patrick Frost reporting.
Actress Kristen Bell hosting a Nickelodeon special with the kid's eye view of the coronavirus pandemic. The channel says the special that'll air 7 p.m. Eastern on Monday will address children's concerns and help family weather the crisis. More news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying parents for medical reasons. In other words, this means students can pursue gender transition without parents knowing about it. Permission slips are required to engage in extracurricular activities. But when it involves a student's health and well-being, folks, the CTA does not have the best interests of students at heart. In fact, it's their goal to push their agenda on vulnerable children. Please join PGI in prayer for parents and children impacted by this policy.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
News Radio Studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. Busy hour. Admiral James Tarvidis will be with us. He's going to talk about the global response with this pandemic, as well as what's happening here in the U.S. as U.S. National Guard has been nationalized. And we know that the spread of the virus is going big in New York. It's also going to, there's a sense that it's going to spread to New Orleans as the second biggest hotspot. But the rest of the country, is it time to unleash part of our economic engine? That's going to be the bigger question. We got to keep in touch with what's going on in Washington and, of course, how you're being affected by it. 1-866-408-7669. We are lucky to have with us a special guest. He is Dr. Robert Redfield, the director of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're going to get to him in just a second. First, Big Three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
Well, if you close businesses, when are you going to reopen those businesses? And you shouldn't close businesses until you have a plan and understanding for your public health community as to what triggers reopening and how long is this going to take.
That is Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas. A change is coming. Both the president and some governors talking about opening up some states, counties, and regions. Details are coming. Are you ready to go back to work? Is this a good move, or are we giving the green light too early?
Number two.
The New York tri-state area is the center of the coronavirus pandemic in the United States. Dr. Birx urged everyone who is traveling from the New York metro area to self-quarantine for 14 days.
Wow, Texas Governor Greg Abbott telling everyone in New York, you're still the epicenter, and if you travel, you're the epicenter. There needs to have new rules for New Yorkers should we go anywhere, plus new focus on the next hotspot, New Orleans, also news on the therapies and the fight to beat the virus.
Number one.
Hopefully it'll get approved equally easily in the House, really. I think it will go through pretty well from what I hear virtually everybody. There could be one vote, one grandstander maybe. You might have one grandstander, but let's see whether or not we have a grandstander.
Hey, get it done. Today is the day for the historic rescue bill. It needs to pass the House. The hurdles and the worries might have to come back to D.C. in order to get a quorum of 216 to overcome the Kentucky Congressman Massey, who's a libertarian and doesn't like the spending. So let's bring in the CDC director. He is Dr. Robert Redfield. Hey, doctor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Brian. Glad to be here.
Doctor, what is the biggest surprise since this really hit our shores on the coronavirus?
Well, I think the thing that probably surprised all of us was the infectivity of this particular virus. This virus is, flu is extremely infectious, and this virus seems to have infectivity that's at least three times that of flu, and that's what's allowed its rapid spread.
So when you mean, in fact, you know, for us laymen, so in other words, how quick we get it, the fact is you don't, how easy it is to spread, is that what you mean?
Yeah, so I really mean how easy it is to go from one person to another. That this virus seems to be three times easier to go one person to another. That said, Brian, this is why this virus has one really, really, really serious weakness. And that is, in order for it to go to one person to another, those people have got to be pretty close. And this is why we've really pushed this social distancing, not just as a paper recommendation, but I try to let people know it's actually a very powerful weapon. You know, we're not defenseless against this virus, and this is why we've pushed these social distancing issues as a major defense. And if all America can go all in on that social distancing, this virus will lose its ability to go from one human to another.
Did you ever think we'd have a pandemic like this hit our shores and be so much more destructive than SARS and H1N1 in terms of how it affect American lives?
Well, I think many of us thought it was a matter of not if but when, particularly with pandemic flu. We didn't necessarily suspect it's going to be this new coronavirus. I think it's important for your listeners to know, and this is no hyperbole, this is the most serious public health threat that this nation's faced in more than a century. This is a very serious threat.
Well, if you were caught by surprise, you weren't alone. I found this January interview with Dr. Fauci as respected as anyone in this country for good reason. He's been doing this job for 30 years. So it's January 26, 2020. He's on the Katz Rhine Roundtable, a great show with John Katzmatidis. Listen to what he said. Cut 25.
What can you tell the American people about what's going on? Should they be scared?
I don't think so. The American people should not be worried or frightened by this. It's a very, very low risk to the United States. It isn't something that the American public needs to worry about or be frightened about, because we have ways of preparing, of screening, of people coming in, and we have ways of responding, like we did with this one case in Seattle, Washington, who had traveled to China and brought back the infection.
Wow. And now we watch him every day and we hear how serious it is. So when our most astute professional is surprised, what chance does the everyday American have? Did you feel the same way on January 26th?
Well, I have had regular discussions with my colleague, the director of CDC in China, and, you know, they originally were pretty certain that this was not transmitted human to human. Obviously, that became corrected, as they saw in the first 3-4 weeks in January, that human-to-human spread was not only occurring, it's actually, as I said, more infectious. And I think, you know, that led to the situation that we're in today. I think no one could have predicted how transmissible, how infectious this virus really is.
So we got Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK. He's got it. He says he's got mild symptoms. He has a persistent cough and a low-grade fever. I just saw him on video. He's fine. I have a 49-year-old in a neighboring town that died. He's a marathoner. Are we getting different strains of this? Did Boris Johnson have a different strain than this guy in Amityville, New York?
No, Brian, it does look like this virus has been very stable, but different individuals respond to it differently. You know, what are those factors? Is it how much virus you were exposed to? Is it your underlying medical condition? Clearly, the group that's greater risk are the individuals with underlying medical conditions, particularly the elderly. But there are people's all age groups that can develop very serious illness from this virus. And it turns out that probably overall 98% or more people get this virus are going to recover fine. It's just those vulnerable that are at great risk of mortality. This is, again, why we ask the American public to really be aggressive in the social distancing recommendations that we've made. We know they're inconvenient. We know it's a sacrifice, but we're doing it to protect the vulnerable. These individuals are the ones that are greater at risk for death. But in the individuals, they can anywhere be totally asymptomatic, don't even know they got the infection, all the way up to actually requiring critical care in an ICU.
Dr. Redfield, thanks so much for being here. Just a question now on if I got it and don't know it, am I now immune to it? The same theory is why I get a polio shot and a measles shot. If I get it, do I have that immunity now? Do I have the antibodies to be immune?
Yeah, so right now, when you get infected, you will develop an immunity. That's one of the big challenges we have right now, because the whole world basically came in non-immune. But we don't know how long that protective immunity is going to last. That's obviously something that a question that we're trying to answer as we speak. Is this immunity good for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years? This is going to be one of the critical questions.
I want you to hear what the governor of New York, who's in the middle of the eye of the storm, 50% of all the cases in New York, and they grew again last night. Here's what he said he's looking to do now. Cut 35.
So how do you modify the public health strategy to make it smarter from a public health point of view, but also starts to get you back to work? Younger people can go back to work. People who have resolved can go back to work. People who, once we get this antibody test, show that they had the virus and they resolved can go back to work. That's how I think you do it. It's not we're going to either do public health or we're going to do economic development, restarting. We have to do both.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's exactly what we need to do. It's exactly what the president's been saying. It's not one size fits all. So the data is going to be really important. There's many parts of this country that have very limited coronavirus infection right now, and as we get certain about that surveillance data, not only in geographic areas, but as was mentioned by the governor, in different age groups, one can potentially begin to restart some of the economy. That said, we want people to continue to embrace our social distancing recommendations to a certain degree, our personal hygiene recommendations to a certain degree, so that we begin to do this. There are going to be some areas, like, as you know, New York City, northern New Jersey right now, that are the eye of the storm, that I think we're going to have to be more and more vigilant in having all of the New Yorkers and New Jersey, northern New Jerseyers just be vigilant and embrace these public health recommendations with vigor. And when we do that, and I think you've probably seen the NBC news clip where they had a bunch of matches across the board separated by about a finger width, and they just took one match and the flame went out. That's what we're really trying to do here, is we're trying to just keep us far enough away from each other, practice of good personal hygiene, so that this virus is just go out, and to give us some time to prepare for the next wave of this virus that we anticipate. Once this outbreak goes out, we'll anticipate, like most respiratory viruses, that next winter we're going to have another wave, but we'll be more prepared than we were for the first one.
Dr. Richfield, the big thing story is now the U.S. is now number one in cases. Does that show that our strategy to this point is failing?
I wouldn't say that, Brian. First, if you correct for, like from Italy, if you correct for population, I wouldn't say it's our strategy is failing. I think really if the president had restricted travel initially from China or the travel when we did from Europe, I think the amount of cases we'd have in this nation would have been far greater. We need to keep vigilant about these social distancing strategies. One of the big challenges is that it probably takes 10 to 14 days. You know, everything that has happened for the next 2 weeks has already happened. And so we're really just starting to be at the phase when this 15-day period was started. 15 days ago, 10 days of that had already happened. And so we're hopeful to start beginning to see some impact of the social distancing strategy in the days ahead. But, you know, we have a long fight. There's no doubt in my mind that we're going to get through this. I don't want the American public to be scared. I want them to be prepared. I want them to be vigilant and realize that this is an all-in. We're all part of the defense here against this virus. And I mean, it sounds simple that these social distancing things could have any value, but I want to just underscore what I said before. This is a powerful, powerful weapon against this virus, and if we just all practice it, this virus will actually stop transmission, and we'll get a time to get better prepared for the next season.
And, yeah, I don't want to do a lot of looking back, but the one thing I did is I spoke to John Bolton, And I asked him, they keep saying the Trump administration took down the pandemic unit. He said, what I did is folded into the bioterror unit because they basically strategy is the same exact thing. I saw a lot of redundancy in the tasks. In all candor, is that the truth as you see it?
Yeah, I personally don't see that as really a factor in our response to this. We have a very effective National Security Council that has the broader capability, as you mentioned, with not just biosecurity, but also the defense security. So I don't think that was a factor.
All right. Is there anything you would do different now? And you thought to yourself, the next time this happens will be, is it more gowns, more masks? Is it more tests? Is there anything that you have learned from this now that you would definitely be able to attack differently?
Yeah, Brian, I think the most important thing is that we need to overinvest in the core capabilities of public health, not underinvest. We need to be overprepared, not underprepared. What I mean by that, data modernization, data analytics. We need an integrated public health data system for the whole nation. We need to have laboratory capability. When CDC developed that lab test, which is an excellent test, that test was developed on a platform that all public health labs had, which is the flu platform. Well, that platform has limitations in how many tests you can actually do. You know, if we had redundancy and they had the high throughput platforms in every public health lab, it would have been a different story. We got to invest in public health people. You know, Congress did give us a rapid response fund, so this time we actually had money that we could deploy right away. We need to strengthen that. And lastly, we really need to strengthen our global health security strategy. We need to be able to detect these viruses and these pathogens where they are and then operationalize to respond and prevent them. It's a lot easier to stop these viruses and these infectious disease agents offshore than it is to try to fight them here. So really investing in the overall capacity of our public health system, both in terms of an agency like I run CDC, but more important, the public health labs in the local state, tribal and territorial across this country. We need to over-prepare for a public health response, not under-prepare.
And believe me, you're speaking to the choir, and that's 350 million Americans, because we get it. Congress will give you whatever you want. They're going to hold you accountable, but I think America's been educated on what you need and the dangers that are out there. CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield, one of the busiest men in America, thanks so much for your time. I hope to talk to you again, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. God bless.
You got it. 1-866-408-7669. We got a lot there. Back in a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
If consistent weekly income, sleeping like a baby during these crazy markets, and only spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. Hi, it's Preston James. You see, the Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. Check out the real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about the Money Press. Even if you've been frustrated and unlucky in the past, let me prove it to you now. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com. Now, you won't find any photos of rented private jets or any talk about day trading penny stocks. Just the real proof. See you at paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Urgent message for users of Roundup. A federal jury reached a unanimous verdict recently that Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. Call Guardian Legal Network now.
800-340-0984.
Protect your rights to financial compensation. If you or someone you loved used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call now.
800-340-0984. That's 800-340-0984. 800-340-0984.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Military Matters.
A top Pentagon doctor says based on his model, the coronavirus will continue to grow in the U.S. military over the next 3 weeks. Brigadier General Paul Fredericks was asked if any restrictions should be lifted by Easter.
I don't think there's a great deal of value in speculating on a particular date. And what I would ask for everyone's help with is worry about today. Because if we stop doing the right thing today because we think something's going to happen in 4 weeks, we will make this worse.
Defense Secretary Esper says the pandemic will continue for many weeks.
We need to plan for this to be a few months long at least, and we're taking all precautionary measures to do that, to be in it for the long haul.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, went even further.
You're looking at 8 to 10, maybe 12 weeks, something like that. Call it 3 months.
Three U.S. Navy sailors aboard the aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt tested positive for the virus and were flown off. The first known cases for a U.S. warship at sea. For Military Matters, Lucas Tomlinson, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Mahalia Jackson, who died in 1972, is widely regarded as the first queen of gospel music. Although she was a heralded and much-loved performer, she lived a double life in racially divided America.
When I'm on the stage and on television and working with white people, they just hug me and love me and say I'm so wonderful and I'm so great. And then when I'm walking down the street like an ordinary citizen, they don't recognize me, and when I go into the department store in the South, I can't get a sandwich, I can't get a bottle of pop, I got to stay, I can't even get a cab, and I'm just a Mahalia Jackson that they got through saying how wonderful I am. What? I don't understand this. What makes people like that?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is House Call for Health. Across the globe, research is being done at a feverish pace on treatments and vaccines for the coronavirus. Today, we'll focus on one of them, an attempt to take advantage of patients who have recovered from the disease to help those currently fighting the illness. In New York, the epicenter of the outbreak in the U.S., researchers are taking blood from COVID-19 patients who are feeling better. They're separating out the red and white blood cells and the platelets and working with what's left, the plasma. They're isolating and harvesting antibodies developed by the formerly sick people and injecting them into currently infected patients. That, it is hoped, will jumpstart the virus-fighting response. The idea of using antibodies in plasma dates back to the 1918 flu pandemic. The FDA has given permission to begin this therapy plan as soon as it's ready. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Military response. Is this really a president of war? It really is. We're going to talk to Admiral James Stavridis about that shortly. He also was a little disappointed, according to some reports, about the lack of international funds in the $2.2 trillion rescue package. We'll talk to him about that. Meanwhile, let's go to you in Newburgh, New York. We find CJ. Hey, CJ. I'm sorry, Eric. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Yes. Oh, there, my fault. Hey, Eric, sorry about that.
How are you?
What's on your mind?
It's stupid. Nope. To shut down an entire facility because one person shows up with the virus.
So what are you doing? You're calling from upstate New York. Yes. Newburgh, is anybody testing positive?
Oh, yeah, sure. We got a couple of hundred people up here. These blanket shutdowns are not working. What you need to do is be more precise and more specific. You do due to temperature thing, which is an early sign, not a symptom, a sign, a physical, measurable, objective sign. That's the first thing, the temperature. If they have an elevated temperature and they don't go in, it could be a plant, a factory,
a lot of personal responsibility, right? Well, a lot of personal responsibility, correct?
No, you have security with a thermometer, you know, one of the electronic thermometers to scan their forehead. If they have an elevated...
Hey, Eric. Yeah, I tell you what, what we're doing now, not working. Numbers are going up and our economy's flat on its back. Admiral James Tarvitas, then your calls next.
One century ago, the world experienced its deadliest pandemic when the Spanish flu of 1918 infected nations around the world, killing millions. In the decades since, other influenzas have swept the world, taking the lives of millions more. But none have been quite like this.
The coronavirus, now a global pandemic.
Broadway will be shut down. The NBA is suspending gameplay.
Wall Street briefly suspending trading today.
It has impacted Hollywood. It has impacted Capitol Hill.
This is like no other.
Now, go inside the lives of people living in quarantine.
You haven't seen each other in 10 days.
And learn how you can stay safe from the virus.
We still have a long way to go. There will be many more cases, but we'll take care of that.
Fox Nation brings you three new specials. Diving into the world of pandemics, past, present, and future. Don't miss Five Flus, Pandemics and Epidemics 101, and Quarantined, available now only on Fox Nation.
This is House Call for Health. If you've ever watched a doctor show, you've seen the high drama when there's a code blue, a patient in cardiac arrest, and the frantic effort by a team of doctors and nurses to get the heart beating again, to bring the patient back. But during this pandemic, some medical ethics experts are starting to ask tough questions. Is it worth the time and effort of hospital staff, plus the precious resources such as gowns, gloves, and masks to try to revive one patient? Scott Halpern, a bioethicist at the University of Pennsylvania, questions whether it's fair to go all in for one patient at the risk of not having what's needed to help others. However, Halpern draws the line at a blanket policy of do not resuscitate orders for all COVID-19 patients. He said doctors, patients, and families must still be allowed to make that most difficult decision on a case-by-case basis. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
From the health of every American to the health of your portfolio, Fox Business brings you complete coronavirus coverage. As markets continue to react with extreme volatility, Fox Business shows you how to navigate the turmoil with instant analysis to help you make your next move. Plus, breaking reports from Washington to Main Street, keeping you on top of every development as it happens. Turn to Fox Business for the continuing coronavirus coverage every investor needs.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, addresses the Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt that, on March 26, 1979, led to a negotiated peace between the two nations, the first between Israel and any of its Arab neighbors.
The countrysides of both lands are free from the litter and the carnage of a wasteful war. Mothers in Egypt and Israel are not weeping today for their children fallen in senseless battle. The dedication and determination of these two world statesmen have borne fruit. Peace has come to Israel and to Egypt.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Brad Paisley makes the Dean's List by helping deliver groceries to the elderly during the coronavirus pandemic. A free grocery store called The Store was launched by Brad and his actor wife, Kimberly Williams Paisley. He started the volunteer-run delivery service for Middle Tennessee and the rest of the U.S. The elderly, as we know, are among the most vulnerable and susceptible to getting the virus known as COVID-19. According to an Instagram post, Brad writes, "The store volunteers plan to deliver a week of groceries to those applicable in the Edgehill and Berry Hill neighborhoods. Delivery plans happen on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
We have a list of seniors that we're basically dropping off what they need, following all protocols to make sure that we're doing this right. If you know somebody that should be on this list, please email us to make sure that we get them the food that they need right now. They don't need to be out."
Thank you, Brad Paisley, for using your platform to do good. Janice Dean, Fox News.
A radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
We'll also enact mandatory playground social density. It's probably a new concept. No close contact sports in a playground. No basketball, for example. You cannot do it. We're asking people to do that on a voluntary basis. If there is non-compliance with that, we will then make it mandatory and we will actually close the playgrounds.
That is Governor Cuomo moments ago talking about the new rules in New York City, the epicenter of all this. 140,000 cases, 53,000 beds are needed. We see 40,000 in ICU, 3,000 ICU beds, 40,000 capacity. They have 3,000 now being occupied. So he says, I need 30,000 respirators. The governor just gave me 4,000. I got 7,000. My hope is not everyone's going to need them. They can rotate other people out of them. There's a couple of concepts. Number one, getting out of this. And number two is getting through this. Getting through this is key because all of us, very few of us have the ability to affect this virus except for staying away from people. But when you're alone or with your family, how do you stay fit? How do you keep sane? And that's why my next guest is so vital. He is Jake Steinfeld, you know, Body by Jake. And when all this happened, Jake's going in a million different ways. Got a movie about to roll out. He's got a nutritional drink that's going to change people's lives. He's got all these businesses and balls in the air. But he had an idea. Let's go back to the future. Let's bring in Jake Steinfeld on how he's making America better. Jake, welcome.
Brian, it's great to hear your voice, buddy, and I heard your governor. I have my son who's in New York City as well, right in the epicenter. And listen, man, first and foremost, I know we talk all the time. I know you're safe and your family is safe. This is a moment, you know, and life is about moments. And there are things that we can do, and you're right, back to the future, you know. I got my start, if you remember, man. I was the first guy to do personal fitness training and made it an occupation. And Ted Turner gave me my start on cable news network back in 1981, man. You know, doing these 60-second vignettes, doing these exercises using a broomstick, a towel, and a chair, because most everyone has a broomstick, a towel, and a chair. And that everybody is in their homes right now. And I heard your governor say, get off the playground, stay far apart. Look, our bodies need to move. When, especially when you have anxiety, especially when you're stressed, especially when you're feeling out of sorts, the best thing in the world, the healthiest thing in the world to do is to move your body. And what I've done is you're right. You've got a lot of great things. We all have things going on in our lives. We had to stop. But we can reflect. We can take this moment and make ourselves better. There's a lot of people by themselves, alone. My son is one of them. I also have my daughter. She's over in Chicago by herself, you know.
Wow.
And we as a country, we have the greatest country in the world. We will get through. We know we will get through this.
what I've done is broken it down, super simple. I'm a newly minted Instagram guy, so you can check me out on Instagram at Official Body by Jake. And I specifically did this for this reason. For this reason. And I was on the show yesterday, Brian, and it was nice to talk to you. I waved to you from my house in L.A., and I saw Ducey, too, and it was great. But what I've done is we've done these simple exercises, and I have my sons with me. I have my two younger guys, one in from Michigan, one's at USC, they're home, and my wife, Tracy. And we're just doing these simple exercises you can do with a broomstick, a towel, and a chair. We post at about 9 a.m. every morning, Pacific time, and they've just gone so well. Because you know what, man? It's simple. You can, you know, there are so many things we can't control right now. So many things. But what you can control is you and what you do. And when you're in your own home, think about this. You're the strongest you could be in your own environment. When you're in your own home, you're the king or queen of that castle. Whether it's a 230-square-foot apartment or a home or a condo, wherever you are.
Right.
Let's look at the positive, Brian, for one second. Right? You don't have to put the makeup on. You don't have to get dolled up to go to a gym. You could do this right in your kitchen, right in your living room, right in your bathroom. I've got exercises posted up at Official Body by Jake where you could do your lat pull, get good stretches off of your sink. Just don't pull the sink out of the wall. No plumbers
now.
Yeah,
you're the only one capable of doing that.
Right.
The push-up challenge, the broomstick squat and side lunge.
Right.
It's out there, and you have your son. How much are you paying your son? Is your son doing this for America, or is he getting? Is he working for his allowance? Because he does a great job.
He's doing it for America. Now, listen, my son Zach, by the way, is a champion rower, man, in high school. He's at Michigan. They won the national championship last year as a freshman. And he demonstrates better, I'm telling you right now, than anybody. I've been doing this for 42 years. And there's nobody better, and it's my son and my other son, Lukey, who is he's our producer. But we're gonna it's a future episode. We've been shooting some episodes now, and there's a couple of fun ones coming up. So you have to watch. But I want you to smile. I want you to be able to just take a minute, right? And if you want to connect all the videos that we're doing together, that's great. But at least take the challenge. Take this don't quit challenge. A few repetitions. And you know what else? We talked about don't quit, right? And there's a poem that I was given, seriously, when I was cut from my eighth grade basketball team in Baldwin, Long Island, right? And I had no idea the impact it would have on my life. As a matter of fact, in 1981, I actually trademarked the words don't quit, but if you don't mind, I'm just going to recite this poem because I think it's really important at this moment, at this time, where we are in our country and who everybody is, and I know you have hundreds of thousands of listeners around this great country, just listen for one second and just, if you can, close your eyes because I believe that this poem had become a Bible verse to me, Brian. And it's something that is so impactful and so important. It goes like this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turn about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Don't quit on you. Don't quit on your family. And don't quit on this great country of ours.
All right. The market's now up 584. That's not quitting. We have Governor Cuomo speaking right now, and he's looking forward to getting the $2 trillion, you would think. But he has just made an announcement. He doesn't like the bill. says New York's not going to get enough money. In terms of Jake and staying in shape right now while you're watching this and you want to turn off the coronavirus report, which is nonstop, but just don't turn off the show, he's got the push-up challenge, tells you exactly how to do it. Whatever your sights are, you can start with 10, right, Jake? And then you just work your way up. Then broomstick squat with a side lunge. You can do this all in the same day. You can do the Jake run. Go in a plank position. Touch one leg to your arms at a time. It's a good way to get the cardio in. The sink pull, which you discussed. The front punch, shoulder press, bicep curl. You can grab some of your cans in your closet.
Two cans of Mama's tomato paste, man. We use the 52-ounce chilled Don't Quits. We're going to talk about that pretty soon. But we got some new ones coming. I'm posting up some new ones using a chair. We have towel exercises that you're going to be able to do with your loved ones. I know people are getting, you know, a little antsy, a little very uptight, you know, very stressed. These exercises are great, and if you don't, you know, have a partner with you, exercises we're showing everyone you can do on your own or with family members. And this is all about, we're going to get through this, Brian, and you know this, and you're doing a sensational job. You always have, and I'm real proud of you, buddy. I mean, you've become a big star, man. We go back a long way, over 20 years.
Right. I mean, we've been doing it for a while. I've just happened to hook up with the right network, which is number one in radio and TV. And by the way, what I like about your stuff, Jake, is like you don't have to know how to exercise. Your son does such a great job, and you do such a great job explaining. You did this when there was VHS tapes out there. You could do it on Instagram in 2 seconds, and you post it. You also put up on this morning, which is important. Did you put up you eating ice cream watching TV?
That's what I did on the seventh day. You know, we're doing, so I'm taking it. It doesn't need to be consecutive, but we're doing it that way. So we do a challenge a day. And on the seventh day, and as you know, we've talked about this a lot, it's really important to take a break, to take a moment. And listen, I have a cheat day, and I love ice cream, baby. You know, if it's a mint chocolate chip for me, is it? And I figured this is what we're going to do. You know, the great thing about social media, and I know I'm sounding like I just invented it, man, or just found me. I've always been out there on television for, my goodness, 40 some odd years. But, you know, with social media, you really can, people can really get to know you. And it's going to be fun. And this is a, you know, as crummy as a time this is for all of us, we need to make the best of it. And this is an opportunity for all of us to get to know each other, but also to get to know yourself a little bit more. Think about that. You do have time to spend. Close your eyes for a few minutes. Be grateful. Be positive. We will get through this. The sun will come up tomorrow. And this is going to be a moment where, you know, sports will get back, people will get back, and they'll talk about, people will all talk about this. You'll do shows on where were you, what were you doing during those 8 weeks, during those 9 weeks, or six, however long this is going to be.
Right. And so, you know, for a little while, New Yorkers were able to forget how bad the Knicks were. And that's one thing I'm grateful for. You know, as soon as we start playing basketball again, we'll realize.
Let me tell you something. All I think about is Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, Dave DeBusschere, man.
Forget it.
Come on.
That's sad that you got to go back to the 70s.
That's what I think. Listen, I've been in L.A. I've been here since I'm 18 years old, man, right? You know my story, man. I went to college upstate New York, you know, Cornell University, right? I went to Portland down the street.
Yeah.
And made my move to LA to pursue bodybuilding, man, and I became a big Lakers guy, especially the 80s Lakers, man. Showtime Lakers. But I've got my Knicks jersey, and I got to be honest, man, my New York Rangers, Brad Park, I got a stick. I was at a game.
All right, listen. You got a stick, and they traded him to the Bruins right after you met him.
I think that was it, man. But, you know, I had the stick. It was broken off, and I think it was at that moment that I started doing the broomstick twist with a hockey stick.
Wow. And next thing you know, you had great abs, great obliques, and you were bodied by Jake, and the whole world knew you.
That's it.
All right, so, Jake, how do we find you on Instagram? What's your address?
It's Official Body by Jake, man. Check it out. Check me out on Instagram at Official Body by Jake. Every day throughout, as long as this is going to take, seriously, as long as it's going to take, okay. We're going to be posting exercises and fun things and anecdotal things, gotcha. But more importantly, motivation, inspiration, and I want you, all of your great listeners, to, when we get through this, because we are, to come out the other side feeling great and inspired to continue to make exercise a part of your life.
Hashtag don't quit challenge and at Body by Jake. Follow him on Instagram. Jake, thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Bye, the best, man. God bless.
All right, back at you. Back to wrap things up, and I'll tell you exactly what the governor's going over right now. 1-866-408-7669, and I'll get to your calls. Big agenda. Don't move.
You won't pull or tear anything listening. Brian does all the heavy lifting. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Urgent message for users of Roundup. A federal jury reached a unanimous verdict recently that Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. Call Guardian Legal Network now.
800-340-0984.
Protect your rights to financial compensation. If you or someone you loved used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call now.
800-340-0984. That's 800-340-0984. 800-340-0984.
This is Fox on Justice. There was a patient zero. Someone was the first to get the coronavirus and spread it to others. In much the same way, the horrifically deadly Camp Fire that roared through Paradise, California in 2018 was started by someone, or more accurately, something, a company, an electric utility. 84 people died in that fire, many of them trapped in their community by walls of flame and gridlock traffic. The president of Pacific Gas and Electric, Bill Johnson, admitted it, saying our equipment started the fire. We accept responsibility. And so PG&E will plead guilty to crimes. One count of unlawfully starting a fire and 84 counts of involuntary manslaughter. Nobody goes to jail with this guilty plea, but PG&E will pay a fine of around $4 million. That's a fraction of what the company could have been hit with, but it avoided a heftier penalty by filing for bankruptcy. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeVorkin with the Fox Entertainment Profile on LEGO Masters. The competitors test their skills in a good versus evil storytelling challenge this week. Building up excitement along the way is special guest star Terry Crews. Host Will Arnett says Crews brings his incredible enthusiasm right from the start.
Makes one of the best entrances in television history.
I spoke with Arnett in December about the series. He shared how impressed he is with the talent and creativity of the team.
What's amazing is how great technically these builders are. And I don't even think that I appreciated it, even being around LEGO as much
much as I have been.
Like, these people are engineers on top of being artists.
And Arnett says it's a show all audiences can get invested in.
I think that viewers will really get into how great each one of these individual teams are and what makes certain teams good at certain things. I think it's really cool to have a show that everybody can watch together, because it's something that I would want to do with my kids.
Maybe it can even inspire those parent and kid Lego enthusiasts at home as we all look for entertainment and activities to do while staying in. Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
The more you'll know.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
The evidence suggests that the density control measures may be working. This past Sunday, the projection was that hospitalizations were doubling every 2 days, okay? On Monday, the numbers suggested that the hospitalizations were doubling every 3.4 days. On Tuesday, the projection suggested that the hospitalizations were doubling every 4.7 days. Now, that is almost too good to be true, but this is a very good sign and a positive sign.
That is Governor Cuomo. His press conference still going on. He's taking questions, going on for about 45 minutes. He does not like the $2 trillion $2 trillion stimulus or rescue package that is going to be voted on by the Senate today and the House tomorrow. Jason, listen on WLEA in New York. Jason.
How you doing, Brian?
Good. How are you holding up?
Good. I'm from Allegheny County. We've got a total of two confirmed cases out here. And I did just a little bit of math to put people's minds a little bit at ease. With 55,000 coronavirus cases in the United States, if you divide that by 330 million, which is our population, you end up with a percentage of 0.0001666.7% of the population.
So listen, so you're saying your area in New York, which is, if you don't know New York, is open. You're saying, why are you under the same structure and strictures of New York City, right?
Exactly.
I don't have an answer for you. I hope they open it up, get a little bit more targeted. Melvin, FM News Talk 97.1. Melvin.
Thanks for taking my call. Brian, my issue is we're going to have a lot of people that are going to be filing bankruptcy, repossessions, foreclosures, evictions. I fear that, you know, the very short-term stimulus is going to help, but there are going to be some very long-lasting issues for a lot of people that I don't hear being addressed. Now, if there is a recovery, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people that won't be able to enjoy that recovery.
I think that you should hold your ground. A lot of people are going to ask for forgiveness or delays from the people that own those huge skyscrapers, to the people that are mortgage holders, the big banks are going to need. Everyone's got to cooperate with everyone. I think there's going to be a nation of understanding, and 139 countries are going through it. No one is to blame. We're all victims, and we're going to turn it around. Hold your ground. Don't make any rash decisions. This is a situation like no other. And I'll try to unwind it and get the experts here to tell you what is exactly coming our direction. But everyone's in this together. Thanks so much for listening. Keep it here. And make sure to know, for everything pandemic-related, this is your one-stop shopping. I'm Brian Kilmeade.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to
try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1989, the Soviet Union leaves Afghanistan.
General Boris Grumov crossed the bridge over the Amu Darya River. This was the final act in the withdrawal of all Soviet armed forces and services from the Republic of Afghanistan.
The government has to show clearly that it has abandoned the old Stalinist class struggle approach.
Banishment for life for Pete Rose from baseball is the sad end of a sorry episode.
I gambled on other sports other than baseball. I never gambled on baseball, but I think I'm being punished pretty severely.
So the Oakland A's take a
Jim Baker, once one of this nation's most powerful televangelists, now faces a lifetime in prison.
300 East Berliners are climbing over the metal fence here towards the Berlin Wall.
News as it happened then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. The 1,000-bed U.S. NHS Comfort is heading for New York City. Before leaving port at Norfolk Naval Station Saturday afternoon, President Trump was on hand to praise the crew.
Among the sailors departing today are some of the finest doctors, nurses, technicians, orderlies, and medical staff anywhere in the world. These are true professionals. And no one performs better under pressure when lives are on the line. These are incredible people.
Defense Secretary Mark Esper also on hand. He told the audience it's not all about the Navy. There's other military resources being deployed elsewhere.
Thousands of National Guard troops are mobilized across the country, conducting a variety of essential tasks, ranging from planning to logistics, to medical support. Active duty units are moving critical supplies and equipment and medical personnel to some of the nation's most heavily impacted areas.
The Comfort, scheduled to dock in Manhattan Monday, will house non-infectious patients. It's an effort to free up bed space at local hospitals who are treating coronavirus patients. The Comfort's sister ship, the Mercy, docked in Los Angeles Friday morning with a similar mission. California restaurants asking for a little help.
California's restaurant industry has been hit hard by restrictions to stop the spread of coronavirus. The California Restaurant Association says directives that have closed sit-down dining rooms around the state nearly decimated the industry, and it says 30% of its businesses could close permanently without help from the state.
Ken Lorman reports among the proposals in a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom. The group says they would like a delay in planned minimum wage increases and are also requesting a postponement in property and other tax payments. Check out more news and analysis both at townhall.com.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm, phones, mm-hmm, life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds,
mm-hmm,
for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you got to say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou.
He's like you. 800-555-2085. That's 800-555-2085.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-555-2085.
Write it down.
800-555-2085.
Federal regulators approved a rapid test that can detect coronavirus in just 5 minutes.
The new rapid test comes from Abbott Laboratories, which says it will begin distributing them to some medical facilities next week after receiving emergency clearance from the FDA. It comes as a cartridge that fits into the company's portable ID device used at hospitals, clinics, and doctor's offices. Abbott's test can give a positive reading in 5 minutes and can confirm someone's negative if the virus is not detected in 13 minutes. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Scores of tourists on the foothills of Mount Everest had to be flown to safety just days after being stranded on the only airstrip serving the world's highest mountain. Some 174 foreign tourists, four Nepali nationals, left the mountain by air Saturday in 12 small planes and two helicopters. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The stars of the theatrical 2011 virus thriller Contagion reunited for a series of public service announcements to warn about COVID-19.
Matt Damon, Lawrence Fishburne, and Kate Winslet have teamed up with scientists from Columbia University's Melman School of Public Health to offer four individual homemade videos with advice and a message of unity. Wash your hands like your life depends on it, Winslet says in her PSA, because right now in particular it just might. Contagion, directed by Steven Soderbergh, explores a scenario in which a lethal and fast-moving influenza is spreading around the world. Damon in his video notes that it's creeping its way up the charts on iTunes for obvious reasons. Patrick Foss reporting.
NCAA Division I Council scheduled to vote Monday whether to provide another year of eligibility to sporting athletes in the spring. That includes baseball, softball, lacrosse. The players had their seasons wiped out by the coronavirus pandemic. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying parents for medical reasons. In other words, this means students can pursue gender transition without parents knowing about it. Permission slips are required to engage in extracurricular activities. But when it involves a student's health and well-being, folks, the CTA does not have the best interests of students at heart. In fact, it's their goal to push their agenda on vulnerable children. Please join PGI in prayer for parents and children impacted by this policy.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Radio studios in New York City. Fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
All right, total number of confirmed cases, 551,337 around the world, 24,906 deaths. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the latest on the pandemic that is gripping the globe, 149 countries. We are one of them, and sadly, we are number one in this. We have the most cases, but we're sixth overall in mortality in terms of deaths. No doubt about it. I wouldn't say it's out of control. We're trying to contain it. We're certainly taking massive action. In New York, 39,140 cases with 461 passing away. In New York City alone, 23,112 with 365 deaths. So the bulk of it coming from Manhattan area. In Westchester County, good news, New Rochelle is starting to get back to normal. 5,911 cases, just one passed away because we acted quickly. Nassau County, almost 4,000 cases. In Suffolk, 2,700 cases. Most of the country's cases are from New York State. 59% of all cases are actually, to get the number exactly. So we'll continue to follow this story as it relates here. And we have the governor here also talking like the president. We got to find a way to open up this economy. We know about taking precautions, but we can't continue to keep our economy flat on its back. This hour, we're going to be joined by Chris Wallace. He was off last week, but I'm sure watching everything. And Geraldo Rivera. In a matter of moments, let's get to the big three.
It's Brian's big three.
Number three.
Well, if you close businesses, when are you going to reopen those businesses? And you shouldn't close businesses until you have a plan and understanding for your public health community as to what triggers reopening and how long is this going to take.
Governor Hutchinson of Arkansas saying change is coming. Both the president and some governors talking about opening up some states, counties, and regions. Details are coming. If you were given the call to go back to work, to go back to the gym, if you were in one of those states, would you do it? I want to find out.
Number two.
The New York tri-state area is the center of the coronavirus pandemic in the United States. Dr. Birx urged everyone who is traveling from the New York metro area to self-quarantine for 14 days.
That is Governor Greg Abbott has already asked for a state of emergency for Texas. New York City is still the epicenter. The needs they have and the new rules for New Yorkers. Should we travel? I have news for you. Nobody wants to see us. Plus, new focus on the new hotspot, New Orleans, the health, the therapies, and the fight to beat the virus.
Number one.
Hopefully, it'll get approved equally easily in the House, really. I think it will go through pretty well from what I hear virtually everybody. There could be one vote. One vote. One grandstander, maybe. You might have one grandstander. But let's see whether or not we have a grandstander.
Get it done, guys. Today is the day the historic rescue bill needs to pass the House. The hurdles and the worries we have as the House makes its way back to D.C. and the sad role politics is still playing among Democratic leadership. Geraldo, as I bring you in, I understand there's going to be a couple hours of debate on the House floor. And if they can do a voice vote unless somebody objects, there's word that AOC might object to spending $2.2 trillion. And this other libertarian from Kentucky, Tom Massey, might object. And that means lawmakers got to find their way into the Capitol and then have to wonder if they're contaminated as they go back to their families. Geraldo, what's your thoughts on this?
I think it's awful. I think it's a cheap shot. I think it is grandstanding. I understand principle. I understand principle when things are life and death. But to have a politician, particularly in the president's own party, to demand Congress do this absolutely meaningless symbolism, I think is preposterous. It's infuriating. And you have to know that delay is measured. In hours, in those hours, people could die because of this politics. It's absolutely absurd and infuriating, Brian.
So I ran through this some on television, and I want to give you a chance to talk to our radio audience. Some of the things that are in this bill, the Forest Service gets $3 million for forest and rangeland research, $27 million for capital improvement and maintenance, $7 million for wildfire management, $75 million to the National Foundation of the Arts, including $25 to the Kennedy Center, $78,000 payments to the Institute of American Indians, really? And Utah gets $500,000 for appropriations to in this for a water development project. And get this, Kentucky gets a provision for the FDA to approve innovative sunscreen that happens to be made in Florence, Kentucky, by L'Oreal. It appeared in the bill. How ridiculous is this? This is, should not be tolerable in a time of catastrophe.
I absolutely agree. It is infuriating. It is, though, in black and white. Even though we passed the bill, even though this money will be distributed, we can at least hold accountable the drivers of those, in this context, absurd allocations. I mean, how they could, in the vernacular, piss away so much money when so many people are really, really hurting, and using them basically as the hostages in a hostage negotiation that allowed them to get all these sweetheart deals, all these these pork barrel projects. It's tough, but Washington, you've been there, Brian. Half that town is high functioning lawyers whose sole purpose is to warp legislation and steer it in the direction of people paying the lawyers. It's pathetic, but the average Joe, Jane, they need this dough. They need it now. Massey, shame on him, but let's at least get this thing passed sometime today. The market otherwise is going to tank. It's down about 800 points right now. What are we going to do? We're going to continue to pussyfoot around, or we're going to get this job done, Brian?
Absolutely. So I want to bring you to something else I never realized until the last couple of days. Open up the phones, and I'm getting calls from Virginia and Florida, and they're saying, I'm seeing New York license plates in my state. They have to quarantine. I don't want this to spread to my family. And I'm realizing we have the scarlet letter in New York now. I mean,
You know,
so when I arrived,
it's always been
because you're in Ohio.
New York, where I was growing up in New York, and you see Jersey plates, Jersey scum, what are they doing in New York? You know, people can get so chauvinistic and so xenophobic, but New York now does have the scarlet letter. You know, just the way, you know, a week or two ago it was Asian people, particularly people from China. You know, in a panic, people do or say stupid stuff, you know. I don't want people hounding New Yorkers. They have to, though, you know, the facts are the facts, Brian. It's a hot spot. You know, you got to quarantine yourself for 14 days whenever you get wherever you're going. You're better off just hanging around in New York and letting this thing, this storm pass, Brian.
I know. Nobody wants to see me usually. Now they have another reason.
You can come to Cleveland. You can come to Cleveland.
You
I have an extra bedroom.
No, yeah, right. You'll come in with a spacesuit. You know, escort me to my room. Right.
So I want you in total garb. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Well, listen,
right.
I would do that to get back in restaurants. I'd be served by an astronaut. It wouldn't bother me. You know, in New York City, yeah. You know, we're on at WABC and WRCN, and we're covering Andrew Cuomo's press conferences along the way. We're seeing New Rochelle being a city that was basically quarantined. And now I was struck by Governor Cuomo on one hand saying where hospital supplies were down, we need ventilators. But he also was open to this. Listen to this. Cut 35.
So how do you modify the public health strategy to make it smarter from a public health point of view, but also starts to get you back to work? Younger people can go back to work. People who have resolved can go back to work. People who, once we get this antibody test, show that they had the virus and they resolved, can go back to work. That's how I think you do it. It's not we're going to either do public health or we're going to do economic development, restarting. We have to do both.
And Governor Hutchinson in Arkansas is like, we're ready to get started again. Where do you think we're heading with this, Geraldo? That's the governor of New York in the eye of the storm, seeing a way to stand up the economy, knowing this can't go on forever.
It can't go on forever, and the longer we stay out, the harder it's going to be to get back. I think Andrew Cuomo's done a great job. He's advocating for his stricken state. I mean, he's got 40,000 infected, 400 dead. He's got a right to bitch about the pace of progress. But in terms of opening, you know, I'm no expert. I just know that I don't want to be around strangers right now. Even when I go, you know, to Whole Foods or, you know, one of the supermarkets, I see people, I greet them, they want to shake hands or whatever it is, and, you know, I give them the samurai bow. But, you know, you walk around, you're worried someone's going to sneeze or something like that. It's, I don't know, if they can figure out how to do it. You know, safely, where it's not, you know, the president is keen on this county by county assessment, you know, and that's the way to do it at the level of the county sheriff. Nobody knows what's going on better than the county authorities in our various counties in the states throughout the country. Let them decide, you know, what, you know, with the federal guidelines, very heavy, very specific, very understandable, and understanding that you're doing a balance, that there is more risk than just staying cloistered in your home. I think that, you know, grudgingly, haltingly, we got to, you know, gradually crack open the door and let some light shine on small business, particularly, Brian.
I mean, I could see this is how I could see doing it. So let's say the city you're in, you only have a handful of cases. So maybe
right.
You open up some of the towns. And then you say, listen, I need you to spread out. I need three seatings instead of one seating. If it's a sports bar, this is going to be a new capacity. Work together. Don't go there to issue tickets. And then you have four or five seatings. Starts at 5 o'clock, 6:30, and 7:30, and 8:30. You spread people out. And we would understand it. This way, the restaurants don't have to go belly up, wait for checks to clear or loans to come in, paying employees not to work. So I think that might be a way to do it. My first pandemic, I'm just imagining it. But I am struck by the president's approval ratings on all of this, despite the hostile, disrespectful tone in which we watch every night at 5, 6 o'clock with the press. Gallup says he's got 60% approval. Fox poll is about 53%. Overall, his approval rating is at an all-time high. How do you explain the disconnect between the way the press covers him and the way the people feel about him?
I think the people watching, I mean, which is basically everybody, are making an assessment, a value judgment, a character, evaluation in their own minds. And they're watching Trump with all his flamboyance and his tempestuousness, his thin-skinned, reaction, always punching back to any perceived insult. But I thought the president was being overexposed. I had a big debate with Sean Hannity. We had an argument for 2 weeks about it. And then the Gallup poll came out, and it's very obvious that the audience is making this judgment, and they're weighing the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, the wartime president, against the right. People asking him, do I take responsibility? Do you grade yourself on a 1 to 10 basis? What would you? You know, there's an attitude toward Trump that in war, and this is World War III, that you never would have heard a reporter say that to Churchill
never.
In World War II mm-hmm. or to FDR in World War II. To me, now is a time where you gotta really. And I see it happening. And those are real numbers that you read, Brian, about Gallup
has not been kind to him.
They have not been kind to him. I mean, he's last I looked, he was at 49%+ on Gallup, which was the highest he's ever been. And I think that people are relating to him. They're believing in him. And now we just got to get this damn thing, get these treatments out there, widespread. I got a friend, Dr. Bob Poplock in Manhattan. He's like a wartime a combat medic. He's got a patient who is on his last legs. He really, Dr. Bob, when he went to the hospital, lungs collapsing on the ventilator, they were giving him, hydrochloroquine and that Z-Pack, yeah. Among the other medications. I just heard from Dr. Bob not a half hour ago that the patient is now off the respirator and heading toward full recovery. So there's hope here. And, I think that that's the message that has to be emphasized over and over again. There is light at the end of the tunnel,
gotcha.
Without being Pollyanna about it, I think you got to – listen, follow the rules, and hope for the best. But I think I think personally that we're on the cusp now of turning the corner.
Geraldo, I'll talk to you again. Stay safe and stay
okay.
Healthy.
Don't forget, we got that
in Ohio, okay?
Yeah, we got.
You do know as soon as I have the New York plates, Eric is going to kick me right out. Is that your friend from New York? Thanks, Geraldo. Appreciate it. All right, 1-866-408-7669. I'm going to be back and take some more of your calls. And this hour, we're going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by Chris Wallace. It won't be as fun as we usually have, but I do want to find out from Fox News Sunday's host where we go from here. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
If consistent weekly income, sleeping like a baby during these crazy markets, and only spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. Hi, it's Preston James. You see, the Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. Check out the real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about the Money Press. Even if you've been frustrated and unlucky in the past, let me prove it to you now. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com. Now, you won't find any photos of rented private jets or any talk about day trading penny stocks. Just the real proof. See you at paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you.
Here,
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A Scottish convenience store giving away thousands of dollars in goods makes today's Dean's List. The offer is for customers over the age of 65 that have mobility issues and are facing self-isolation. It includes things like hand wash, tissues, anti-inflammatory medication. It's called the coronavirus kit, and they will be delivered to the house for free by calling the store in Edinburgh. The shop owner of Day Today store, Zahid Iqbal, says he hopes it sets a good example for other consumers and businesses as shop stores have been left bare from panic buying. Zahid says this is a time when we need to stick together. The idea came to him while accompanying his parents to a local supermarket, and they saw the empty shelves. He says they just want to set a good example in the world. Right now, we need to do our part for the community, and I think it's very important. Thank you, Zahid, and the Day Today store for helping those in your community. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. If you've ever watched a doctor show, you've seen the high drama when there's a code blue, a patient in cardiac arrest, and the frantic effort by a team of doctors and nurses to get the heart beating again, to bring the patient back. But during this pandemic, some medical ethics experts are starting to ask tough questions. Is it worth the time and effort of hospital staff, plus the precious resources such as gowns, gloves, and masks to try to revive one patient? Scott Halpern, a bioethicist at the University of Pennsylvania, questions whether it's fair to go all in for one patient at the risk of not having what's needed to help others. However, Halpern draws the line at a blanket policy of do not resuscitate orders for all COVID-19 patients. He said doctors, patients, and families must still be allowed to make that most difficult decision on a case-by-case basis. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In January of 1960, John F. Kennedy announced that he would seek the presidency of the United States, which he won on November 8, 1960, in a narrow victory over Richard Nixon. At 43, he became the youngest U.S. president.
In the past 40 months, I have toured every state in the Union, and I have talked to Democrats in all walks of life. My candidacy is therefore based on the conviction that I can win both the nomination and the election. I believe that the Democratic Party has a historic function to perform in the winning of the 1960 election, comparable to the 1932 election. I intend to do my utmost to see that that victory is won.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
We did jujitsu on it, that it went from a corporate first proposal that the Republicans put forth in the Senate to a workers first, Democratic workers first legislation. There's so many things we didn't get in any of these bills yet in the way that we need to.
99% of this bill was already decided on Sunday. Almost 3.3 million Americans just lost their job last week. Well, she was holding this bill up for why? Because she wanted to change election law. She wanted Planned Parenthood to be funded. She wanted the Green New Deal. And she wanted more money for sanctuary cities. That's her jujitsu.
That is Kevin McCarthy saying flat out how disgusting it is that she's playing politics with this. There's crap in this bill. Most of it's work. It's going to work with loans and grants and just flat out giving people money. Mitch McConnell weighed in on all this, too. Cut six.
We pivoted from impeachment, one of the most contentious
buzz you can imagine.
I'm sorry, cut number five. Justin, just, I'm sorry, let's go to cut number five, my bad.
I wish Nancy would turn off all those political talking points. An awful lot of Americans work for big companies, so we didn't want to exclude the employees simply because of the size of their employer. She knows better than that, and that's just the kind of thing that she routinely says. I hope it comforts her members, because I certainly want them to take up and pass this bill that not a single Republican in the Senate opposed.
And by the way, in the House, evidently fireworks in the House. A Michigan congressman is out there screaming about the bill. We're going to bring you some of that sound chat program. Just told us about it. And I will say this. The president just tweeted about Tom Massie, who evidently is going to show up and vote against it, forcing everyone to come in and vote. Quote, by empowering the radical left Democrats, do-nothing Kentucky politician Thomas Massie is making their war on the Second Amendment more and more difficult to win. But don't worry, we'll win anyway. He's a disaster for America and for the great state of Kentucky. Went on to say, even though I want to get the House back from Nancy Pelosi, he should be voted out as a Republican. What he is a libertarian. But keep in mind, he hasn't done anything yet. I'd wait if he wait to see if he votes against it. What's significant? If he comes in, that means somebody votes against it. It means they need a quorum, 216 lawmakers. We weren't going to have 216 on the floor. Many of them concerned about their families and their own health. They don't want to end up like Ted Cruz or Rand Paul. So now they have to come in if Massie votes against it or AOC votes against it. Brian Kilmeade Show. When we come back, Chris Wallace joins us, and we have the other breaking news. Don't move.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
From the health of every American to the health of your portfolio, Fox Business brings you complete coronavirus coverage. As markets continue to react with extreme volatility, Fox Business shows you how to navigate the turmoil with instant analysis to help you make your next move. Plus, breaking reports from Washington to Main Street, keeping you on top of every development as it happens. Turn to Fox Business for the continuing coronavirus coverage every investor needs.
One century ago, the world experienced its deadliest pandemic when the Spanish flu of 1918 infected nations around the world, killing millions. In the decades since, other influenzas have swept the world, taking the lives of millions more. But none have been quite like this.
The coronavirus, now a global pandemic.
Broadway will be shut down. The NBA is suspending gameplay.
Wall Street briefly suspending trading today.
It has impacted Hollywood. It has impacted Capitol Hill.
This is like no other.
Now, go inside the lives of people living in quarantine.
You haven't seen each other in 10 days.
And learn how you can stay safe from the virus.
We still have a long way to go. There will be many more cases, but we'll take care of that.
Fox Nation brings you three new specials. Diving into the world of pandemics, past, present, and future. Don't miss Five Flus, Pandemics and Epidemics 101, and Quarantined. Available now, only on Fox Nation. One century ago, the world experienced its deadliest pandemic when the Spanish flu of 1918 infected nations around the world, killing millions. In the decades since, other influenzas have swept the world, taking the lives of millions more. But none have been quite like this.
The coronavirus, now a global pandemic.
Broadway will be shut down. The NBA is suspending gameplay.
Wall Street briefly suspending trading today.
It has impacted Hollywood. It has impacted Capitol Hill.
This is like no other.
Now, go inside the lives of people living in quarantine.
You haven't seen each other in 10 days.
And learn how you can stay safe from the virus.
We still have a long way to go. There will be many more cases, but we'll take care of that.
Fox Nation brings you three new specials. Diving into the world of pandemics, past, present, and future. Don't miss Five Flus, Pandemics and Epidemics 101, and Quarantined. Available now, only on Fox Nation.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1968. President Lyndon Johnson.
It is true that a house divided against itself is a house that cannot stand. I have concluded that I should not permit the presidents to become involved in the partisan division that are developing in this political year. And I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
America tonight is ashamed. Again, an assassin has struck down a man who wanted only peace and nonviolence. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is dead.
Doctors now on the scene. Kennedy is lying in a pool of blood.
News as it happened then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Students helping to raise money for a Wendy's employee makes today's Dean's List. Malcolm Coleman has worked in the food industry for over 15 years, and he's been working at Wendy's on the University of South Carolina's campus in Columbia. In January, an electrical fire destroyed nearly his entire home, making it uninhabitable for him and his mother. The damage was not covered by insurance, and the repairs were extensive. He also lost his dad last year. But even though he's faced so many challenges, he's always kind and positive. His fellow students wanted to help, so they started a GoFundMe page that says, Malcolm never complains and takes every day as a blessing. He clocks into work every night to continue taking care of his mom and puts a small portion of his check towards maybe one day being able to return home. Malcolm says he's grateful to know that people appreciate him and that his efforts to make an impact on the students hasn't gone unnoticed. Thanks to all those who are helping Malcolm and his mom. And Malcolm, we are proud of you. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Information you want, truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. And now, the Brian Kilmeade Show welcomes back
Mr. Sunday, the receptive voice, the king.
All that and so much more.
You have misplayed this so badly because okay. We had a wonderful little thing going here. Yep.
Chris Wallace.
See, Chris, we do want to totally forget our format, but we are in the middle of a pandemic, and we haven't spoken in a while. So that was our halfway measure to know how, so you realize how special you are to the show.
Well, yes, it is great to be back talking to you and talking to all of your listeners. And, you know, I just heard somebody on a commercial say we're all going to get through this, and we are. And people just have to be patient and pace themselves. You know, we're in a world of instant gratification and social media where everything happens 2 minutes ago. This is going to take a while. And, you know, it may be a month. It may be a couple of months. We will get back to normal. But people just have to be patient and kind with each other, even you and I.
Yes, and less sarcastic, perhaps, if we could do that. But I don't think that's even possible. We'll have to see. But in terms of it lasting 2 months, I want you to hear what the president said yesterday, because he was saying he told us on our town hall, that with the virtual town hall that we had, that he's looking for Easter. He's also got a plan in terms of standing up the economy again, cut 19.
You take a look at some states, a big portion. I mean, they all have a little bit, but many of them have just a little bit, and they have it under control. They're incredible governors, they're incredible senators, and they're watching it, and they're very, very well run. So I think we can open up sections, quadrants, and then just keep them going until the whole country's opened up. But we have to open up. The people want to get back to work. They want to get back.
So it's going to be interesting. How we did it is stunning, and then how we reopen it is unplowed ground. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess what I think is I understand the president's impatience. I understand he wants people to get back to work. I understand that when you see 3 million people applied for unemployment this last week, how disheartening that is. And, you know, that has a real economic pain, a real mental health pain. But I think you got to listen to the doctors, and, you know, whether it's Tony Fauci or others, and if they say it's safe to open parts of the country, great. And if they say it isn't safe, And I think it would be a terrible mistake to get impatient. You know, the worst thing that could happen is if, you know, we're taking all this pain now, and it is pain. It's a lot of pain for a lot of people. And, you know, not only the physical pain, the economic pain, the psychic pain, but if we, you know, take a halfway measure and then we let our foot off the gas too soon and people start coming back and we get a second wave or it comes back even worse, that would be terrible. So as far as I'm concerned, and I hope the president does this, is he listens to the public health people, and if they say it's safe to open, you know, some place in that doesn't seem to have any coronavirus cases in the heartland, fine. And if they say it's too soon, I hope you'll listen to them too.
Right. I also thought it was significant to, you know, New York is being hit like nobody else, and we have listeners at WABC and WRCN, and we're seeing these reports, and Governor Cuomo, just a tremendous communicator, was able to come out and not create panic, but he looks like he's very candid. But he did come out and say that maybe he overdid it when he had like a whole stay and shelter in place rule for the entire state. And he's talked about what it would look like as we took allowed the country to stand up again. And let's go to that Governor Cuomo soundbite.
So how do you modify the public health strategy to make it smarter from a public health point of view, but also starts to get you back to work? Younger people can go back to work. People who have resolved can go back to work. People who, once we get this antibody test, show that they had the virus and they resolved, can go back to work. That's how I think you do it. It's not we're going to either do public health or we're going to do economic development restarting. We have to do both.
So that's a governor who's being overrun, still seeing that it's not practical to continue this. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, here's what concerns me. And again, you know, this isn't something we need to be messing around. I mean, you and I study the news, but we're not doctors. We don't play it on even on television or radio. And, you know, I would listen to the public health experts on this. I'm completely defer to the experts. My concern is that with all this talk, and, you know, the president at one point was talking about, I'd love to see the churches packed by Easter. First of all, I think that's probably unrealistic that you're going to see packed churches by Easter. But secondly, at least with what the public health people are saying, secondly, my concern is if you start to, like, we're going to loosen the reins, and you're already starting to talk about it, and we're not even 2 weeks into the 15 days that the president had talked about, which ends on Monday, I wonder that people are going to start to jump the gun and think, well, we're past it. We're not past it. There were more deaths in the last 24 hours than the previous, and more deaths in the previous 24 hours than the 24 before that. I mean, this, you know, we talk about curves. This curve is still going up. It's not going down. And I'm worried that people are going to hear this and get a false sense of security and, you know, begin to go out and begin to, and, you know, and I wonder, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it where you are. Sometimes people are really good about keeping the 6-foot distance, and sometimes people don't, and they get a little too close. And, you know, I worry that people are going to think, well, we're kind of out of the danger zone. And until I hear that from Tony Fauci and other people like that, I think we have to be as careful as possible. I'd rather go a week too long or 2 weeks too long or a month too long than be 2 weeks too early. That, I think, would be the worst thing we could do.
So we did a poll. The president approval rating handling the crisis is over 50%. Gallup had him at 60%. And a lot of people say, well, you know, got off to a slow start. He was minimizing it along the way. And there are sound bites to show that. But you can't blame him. When you got this, I came across this interview on Catch Roundtable, his nationally syndicated show, John Katsimatidis. He was interviewing Anthony Fauci. And take a listen to this, Chris. It is January 28th, cut 25.
What can you tell the American people about what's going on? Should they be scared?
I don't think so. The American people should not be worried or frightened by this. It's a very, very low risk to the United States. It isn't something that the American public needs to worry about or be frightened about, because we have ways of preparing, of screening, of people coming in, and we have ways of responding like we did with this one case in Seattle, Washington, who had traveled to China and brought back the infection.
January 26th, I have to correct myself. That's Anthony Fauci. How can you possibly be critical of politicians for not forecasting this when the doctors don't?
I never thought I would say this. This really must be a pandemic. I completely agree with you. First of all, I just think it's a humongous waste of time to sit there and say, well, he should have done this then. I mean, it's not going to get somebody else a job. It's not going to save anybody's life. Yes, the president did minimize it for a while, but that's a shocking soundbite. I mean, Anthony Fauci, just for folks who don't maybe know the whole history, has been the man in charge of infectious disease for 35 years. He's the person who got Ronald Reagan to take the HIV/AIDS epidemic seriously. So, I mean, he's as good as it gets. He's the gold standard. And, you know, that soundbite, he was obviously totally wrong. So I just think it's fruitless. I know it's something, a game we like to play in the media. Let's find fault. What did you, you know, what you did. But I really think every day is a new day, and we need to, you know, you can criticize anybody for what they're saying today if it's wrong, but I wouldn't worry about yesterday. It doesn't help anybody.
In my opinion, I just watched the ad for the first time last night, and I see it as everything that Trump did wrong, drawn by a super PAC, obviously supporting a Democratic cause. I'm thinking to myself, can you imagine if they run that after 9/11? Bin Laden determined to attack America at home. That was the big thing that they, in the 9/11 report, that they said George Bush should have done something. And that was a debate, and it had everything to do with the John Kerry election. But this is, we're 2 weeks into this, and they're running 30-second ads blaming the president for his reaction. I think that is tasteless, but the American people are going to be the ultimate judge. Your thoughts on that quick before I bring you some breaking news?
I can't wait to hear the breaking news. But, yes, I can understand one party doing it to each other. You know, when we were passing this $2 trillion bill, the Republicans were talking about Nancy Pelosi sweeping in with a bunch of ideas. Nancy Pelosi fires back and, you know, is saying that the Democrats wanted to bail out corporations. She wanted to help people. You know, I understand that politics is going to be politics. And, you know, I just think that, to the degree that all of us in every sector, whether it's the media or opposition parties or whatever, is just patient and understands that people are going to make mistakes. Everybody's trying to do the best they can. And we should have a fierce debate about what we should be doing right now. But spending time rehashing, doing postmortems of what happened a month ago or 2 months ago isn't, as I say, going to save a single life or get somebody a single job.
So on this House floor, rumor is Congressman Massey, a libertarian from Kentucky, with Republican technically, is going to come in and vote against it, forcing all lawmakers to come in and get the quorum 216 to okay this rescue package of $2.2 trillion. And on the House floor, there's fireworks. I have not heard this yet. Chad Pergram emailed us about it, and now here it is. Haley Stevens with gloves on, Democrat from Michigan. Let's listen.
Sacrificing so much right now. Our students gone from their beloved classrooms and classmates. We beaming for our manufacturers who have no. I request 30 more seconds because I rise before you adorning
the
these.
The gentleman from Maryland is recognized.
Not for personal tension. Not for personal tension, but to encourage you to take
the gentleman,
I'm going to
give you more time.
Right to the family.
The gentlelady will suspend. The gentleman from Maryland is recognized.
Right.
Wow.
Cooler heads prevailing in times of crisis. Whoa.
Whoa. Now, let me just say this. I just talked to the big issue today is this fellow Tom Massey, who's a Republican from Kentucky, and he is talking about maybe insisting that there be a quorum, which is half the House, which is because there's some vacancies, 215 congressmen have to be there. And then he's talking about insisting not on just a voice vote, you know, the A's and nays, but rather that people actually have to record their vote. And a lot of people are upset because it means that they'd have to travel from all over the country on planes, be in tight spaces, exactly the things you don't want to be doing now. Two points. One, President Trump has just, this is a Republican, blistered him, called him a third-rate congressman and said he should be kicked out of the Republican Party because he's making everybody go through this. But I just talked to a very veteran Republican vote counter, as good as it gets. He says there are 215 members of Congress in Washington, so even if Massey insists on that, they're going to have the quorum, they're going to be able to carry off the vote, and they're going to pass this bill today, and a lot of people aren't going to have to come back. So I hope he's right. You know, it just seems astonishing that somebody – I understand a lot of reasons you could hate this bill. It's $2 trillion, all of that, but that somebody would play politics. And not just politics. This is a matter of life and death. Somebody has to fly home from California, fly back to D.C. to vote on this. They could get the coronavirus. So this isn't anything to mess about.
I 100% agree. I mentioned today I did not know – that's new news. I did not know we have 200-plus in town. So at least we have a plan B, you know, so because the market's already tanking. It's down 915 points after having a real stellar week. I'm not really quite sure why. I don't know if it's fear of this not passing or if it's something else. But it's tough to make this out, you know.
I think, Brian, it's you and me being back on the radio together. If anything could tank the market, that is it.
Until Neil Cavuto confirms that, I can't go with just your opinion on whether we are destroying the country or not. So I'm gonna let Cavuto be the judge. So, Chris, was it real quick, because as usual, we always go long, but was it hard being off last week? Because you can't really enjoy yourself in the middle of a pandemic.
No, it wasn't great being off last week, but I decided to take it off because I knew this is going to be a long thing, and I'm going to be on straight for a bunch of weeks, so I'm here, and we have a great show on Sunday. We're going to have Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, a lot of questions about the state of the economy, and also he's part of the task force, so we'll talk to him of what the president is going to do about, you know, loosening the reins. We're going to talk to a top public health expert from Johns Hopkins about his thoughts about whether we should be reopening the economy. And then Governor Larry Hogan, Republican of Maryland, because he's one of the people who's been very tough about shutting things down, and we'll see what he has to say about the president.
Yeah, Larry Hogan's getting high marks. People that know him are really impressed with him, so that should be good. It should be great. And Steve Mnuchin's getting high marks, too, on both sides of the aisle, which is very rare, although Hank Paulson tend to have shined, too, when he was Treasury Secretary when the Bush economy fell apart. Chris, I'm looking forward to watching your show. It's amazing. There's going to be a whole lot of things happening in between then and now, but those are all guests that will hold up. Thanks, Chris.
Great. Stay safe. Stay strong, everybody. We'll get through it.
You got it. Chris Wallace's words of wisdom. When we come back, I hear from you. 1-866-408-7669. If they said go back, would you?
You're with Brian Kilmeade.
If consistent weekly income, sleeping like a baby during these crazy markets, and only spending 20 minutes a week at your computer is your thing, well, it's time you discovered the Money Press. Hi, it's Preston James. You see, the Money Press uses the new weekly options and market forces already taking place to create your very own growth and income printing press. Check out the real proof from my real brokerage account. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll be able to watch a 7-minute video detailing how it's done. The best part is you can start small and go at your own pace. If making an extra $3,000 to $5,000 per month has prevented you from being able to retire, you definitely need to know about the Money Press. Even if you've been frustrated and unlucky in the past, let me prove it to you now. Go to paycheckproof.com to see the video. That's paycheckproof.com. Now, you won't find any photos of rented private jets or any talk about day trading penny stocks. Just the real proof. See you at paycheckproof.com.
Individual results may vary. There's no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results. Invest wisely.
Urgent message for users of Roundup. A federal jury reached a unanimous verdict recently that Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. Call Guardian Legal Network now.
800-340-0984.
Protect your rights to financial compensation. If you or someone you loved used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call now.
800-340-0984. That's 800-340-0984. 800-340-0984.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, a place for mom. Call today.
Call a place for mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
We know that we're asking Americans to do a lot right now. So we're asking everyone to be selfless for others so that we can protect those who are most susceptible to this virus.
A question I often get asked is, why should young people care about the spread of coronavirus? Well, we know that people with underlying medical conditions over the age of 60 are at highest risk, but they've got to get it from somebody.
Social distancing is really physical separation of people.
It's what we refer to when we ask people to stay at least 6 feet apart.
Not going to bars, not going to restaurants, not going to theaters where there are a lot of people. It all just means physical separation so that you have a space between you and others who might actually be infected or infect you.
We all have a role to play in preventing person-to-person spread of this disease, which can be deadly for vulnerable groups. For more information on how you can social distance, please go to coronavirus.gov.
One century ago, the world experienced its deadliest pandemic when the Spanish flu of 1918 infected nations around the world, killing millions. In the decades since, other influenzas have swept the world, taking the lives of millions more, but none have been quite like this.
The coronavirus, now a global pandemic.
Broadway will be shut down. The NBA is suspending gameplay.
Wall Street briefly suspending trading today.
It has impacted Hollywood. It has impacted Capitol Hill.
This is like no other.
Now, go inside the lives of people living in quarantine.
You haven't seen each other in 10 days.
And learn how you can stay safe from the virus.
We still have a long way to go. There will be many more cases, but we'll take care of that.
Fox Nation brings you three new specials, diving into the world of pandemics, past, present, and future. Don't miss Five Flus, Pandemics and Epidemics 101, and Quarantined, available now only on Fox Nation.
To your ears. It's Brian Kilmeade.
This is not another day in Congress. This is a time when we have to come together to deliver real results. What Democrats did was a total disgrace. History will not be kind to the days that added to the millions who were unemployed simply because they wanted to change the election law, put a Green New Deal, and thought it was a tremendous opportunity to change the direction and the vision of this country.
And that is Kevin McCarthy talking about how Nancy Pelosi held everything up, and now AOC came out. She wants to get this. She wants to make sure illegal immigrants get some of our money. Fantastic. I don't know what could be wrong with that. But I hate to tell you, guy, even though I'm impressed with Governor Cuomo through this crisis, almost every Democratic governor would say, yeah, she's 100% right. But that's what she wants in the next one, if there is another one, and we think there's going to be another stimulus. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Brian Kilmeade Show, coming to you from our world headquarters in New York. I'm actually on Long Island right now. Steve's on WABC. He's in Brooklyn, not far from me. Hey, Steve.
Yes. If we were a generation worthy of the great generation that fought World War II, they'd be horrified at our behavior. So I'd like to propose an idea and inspire and ignite the imagination of our fellow citizens. There is nothing that prevents us, the recipients of this pork barrel on this bill, from saying, I'm not going to be part of this insanity or corruption of Congress. I have the possibility, the Kennedy Center, the forest that you mentioned in your list of recipients, every one of them could publicly say, we choose to reject the money, the ill-gotten gain that you are squandering, philandering around, and wasting in our name. There's too many people in agony, and we are decent people. We have brains. We have courage.
Steve, I hear you. You're upset about the deforestation, the grants to American Indian organizations that have nothing to do with this pandemic. This is about the pandemic. It's not about the Kennedy Center. It's not about the arts. They have a role. This is a five-alarm fire. Put out the fire.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
One of the forgotten players in the Watergate scandal that brought down the Nixon administration was Democrat Speaker of the House Carl Albert of Oklahoma. Standing only 5'4", he was known as the Little Giant from Little Dixie. In 1992, Albert recalled meeting future presidents Nixon and Kennedy on his first day of Congress.
Nixon walked across from the Republican side of the aisle and shook hands with me and asked me if he had a college contest similar to the high school, and I won that one. And he asked me if I was the one who won that contest. I said, yes. He said, well, he tried out for it later on, but he didn't get that far. John Kennedy came over to me and introduced himself, and he said, are you the Oklahoma boy that was a Rhodes Scholar? I said, yes. He said, well, I met several Rhodes Scholars. So I met them both the first day.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.